Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! Yeah. Welcome to the church, volume 2. Exclusive 213. Got my nephew Nate Dogg in the house. Nate Dogg, holla at him. Where you at?
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a sad girl thing. Think about how she got her heart broke. People reaching for stars. I just want me something natural. When you're alone, it gets mighty cold. Don't act as if you did not know. She let me play with her heart. I'm working late, I said I'll soon be home. All the while the girl was on her phone. Let me tell you what she's crying for.
Why?
Cause I'm fly.
Super fly.
Nate, go.
Oh, I'm fly.
Super fly, but me, I'm super duper, and I'm super duper fly. I be the greatest, I know you waited this, and I wanted this to be your labyrinth and so strenuous. Then you just slide by and quiz a, you want another piss a. Is that the way that you gon' for his a? I know you're feeling all hurt inside, but won't you talk to a player? Let me help out your pride. I'm like a counselor, a pastor, a priest, or a psychologist, a shrink on a freak peak. My technique, I wear mink skater boots, and I'm the rip that gets the loot. And I ain't afraid to shoot, and I love to choo-choo. Beep, beep as I slide up the street. I'm from the LBC, and I don't know what y'all done heard about me, but I'm a C-R-I-P with some P-I-M-P too. I'm a real pimp player from the 213 crew. Now look here, boo, if you gon' bang or hang with the dog, you best to get in. Holla at her, Nate Dogg.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a sad girl thing. Sang about how she got her heart broke. People reaching for stars. I just want me something natural.
Is that right,
when you're alone, it gets mighty cold. Don't act as if you did not know. She let me play with her heart. I'm working late, I said I'll soon be home. All the while the girl was on her phone. Let me tell you what she crying for.
Fly. Yeah, super fly.
Nate, go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm fly, yeah.
Warren G.
Three piece with a mink. Gotta think my shit stinks. Stacey Adams with a drink. Pockets pat them, they come from brink. So what the ladies wink? You the one in the Mercedes. Shotgun with the thing. Coach chillin' watching the Lion King. Crying and things, cause I'm with Snoop and Nate, singing, rhyming and things. I'm out late cause I'm grinding for change. I ain't with dying for dames. Cock back and I'm trying to aim at everything that be hating my fame. Since regulating, been lacing the game. Ain't no mistaking the game. To one mother effing thrizzle, sipping on the chisel. And that's the chisel, four times for the riddles. You know he's bar, everywhere we go. You know who was on. You could tell by the car. Champagne, caviar, bubble back. I say I love you, and I laugh.
In my car, and I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a sad girl thing. Think about how she got her heart broke. People reaching for stars. I just want me something natural. When you're alone, it gets mighty cold. Don't act as if you did not know. She let me play with her heart. I'm working late, I said I'll soon be home. All the while the girl was home alone. Let me tell you what she crying for.
Why?
Cause I'm fly.
Yeah, he's super fly.
Super fly. Nate Dogg.
Oh, I'm fly, yeah.
It ain't nothing but cigars.
Risque.
Audemars. Got too many foreigns. You need a passport to walk in my garage.
It ain't nothing, nigga. Ain't nothing, nigga.
Get over you. You left
good girl and you know it. I know exactly who you could be. So just hold on, we're going home. Just hold on, we're going home.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work,
that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Brother Sharif, and Thor Ministry Radio. Brother Sharif and Thor Ministry Radio.
Dig this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go again. How low can you go?
How y'all feel out there?
I know you're gonna dig this.
Okay,
party people in the house. Yeah, boy.
Are you ready for more with Thor Radio? Are you being harassed by debt collectors? Are you facing foreclosure?
Okay.
We'll bring the hammer down on your debt by using Thor strategies and tactics.
Okay.
Brother Sharif and Thor will educate you on the consumer protection laws, which will allow you to hammer away your debt. Get ready, reset, and restore with Thor Radio. Thor Ministry Radio. Now, here is our own Brother Sharif.
Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Thor Ministry, a.k.a. Reality Radio, a.k.a. Trendsetters, a.k.a. Become Educated as a Consumer. Today's July the 18th, 2014. We are live in Thor Studio. This is your host and founder, Brother Sharif. Along with me is my team of elegant Thorines, Layla, Lori, and Rudy. First and foremost, as always, we give all praises and honors to the Most High, the Creator, because with Him we are everything. Without Him we are absolutely nothing. As you know, Thor is not a religious group. We are very spiritual. We accept, respect, and honor all religious sectors and forms of belief. Thor is not a political group. We respect and honor all political affiliations and beliefs. We also want to thank the Creator for giving us an opportunity to come together as a unified community in common unity. And I also like to state that Thor has no respect of person as it relates to color, ethnicity, race. We are all one race, and that is the human race. Others may believe otherwise. There is no race higher or lower than the other. The difference in the people is their level of education. The difference in wealth and economic stability is your education on being a consumer and the inner workings of commerce. That's the difference in wealth and poverty, believe it or not. Today we have a very interesting show. We have a few announcements to make. And we have a slew of topics in recent news that has occurred between last week and the show today. Today is Free Your Mind Friday, meaning that we are not topic specific. We can veer off and go into other informational sources, touch on topics, give you an opportunity to feel out, question, answer both the host, Brother Sharif, and the panel here, and engage in topics that are important but not limited to relative to economics and civics. I will go ahead and give the disclaimer that myself, Thor Radio, the panel, Layla, Lori, and Rudy, and or any callers, hosts, guests that may appear on Thor Radio are not attorneys. We do not give any legal advice, although to some of you that do not know the definition of legal advice, it would sound to you like we do, but we absolutely do not. We may discuss legal information. We may discuss information that sounds to you to be legal in nature, and in some respects it is. But we are not giving you or anyone else legal advice. What we are doing is sharing our opinions, our experiences, our knowledge, our beliefs, based on how we would handle your situation, or if you were someone close to us, which you are, how we suggest that you may handle that or those situations. We are not affiliated with any legal society. We are a private member association and a private group, protected by the Constitution for the United States of America. Free speech is in effect on Thor Radio. Please, as a responsible individual, research anything you hear on this show and do not believe anything that we say. Nothing we say. If you don't learn anything from Thor Radio Network, you need to research and understand for yourself what you are obligated to on a daily basis, and that is being a consumer, being one of the people, being the very product that makes commerce fluid and dynamic in this country. All of you have inherent power as being a consumer than you would ever dream of. Many of you have been subjugated to think that you don't. And it is the fictitious entities that control every commercial dynamic of your life. They tell you what to do, how to feel. As the brother Charlie Chaplin just stated, tell you what to think, how to feel, how to act. If you're not educated and you allow yourself to be subjugated and oppressed, trust me, it's absolutely your fault. It is absolutely your fault. If you listen to Thor Radio one or two times, you would at least get an understanding that there are things that you can learn that may not place you under those restraints any longer. You have choices in life. Those choices are to be educated or to let some corporate fiction educate you for themselves. No matter how many degrees you feel that you have, please understand the word and etymology of the word degree as opposed to agree, descend as opposed to ascend. No matter how many degrees you have, and no matter how far up the ladder you think you are economically, your economic stability can change with one scam, with one debt collector, with one bill that you pay that you're not entitled to pay, with one wrong piece of advice from someone. And as we will discuss later, sometimes that piece of advice can come from somebody in the legal society. We're going to discuss a few things today. We're also going to discuss our event starting tomorrow and Sunday. A carryover from last weekend, part one and part two was conducted last weekend. This weekend will be part three and four, excuse me. AKA Thor University. We're educating you on what we know about the consumer protection laws and how to apply and its proper application of those laws should you decide to take some offensive action against the oppressive debt collector. This weekend we'll focus on Rule 26F, scheduling orders, discovery, interrogatories, production of documents, subpoenas, summary judgments, trial, evidence, it's a don't miss weekend event. There was no other group out there that has provided an A to Z fundamental seminar or webinar sharing with you ways you could take action against a debt collector. And in some respects, a creditor. I'm going to go on record and state that I don't think there's any other person that the Creator in the universe has prepared and equipped to explain things to you in a very simplistic way than myself and the team that Thor has assembled here. We're not talking about what you could do and what you may do. We're discussing with you what we have done. And not just once, not just luck, not a fluke of nature, but what we've done enough times to where it's become a habit. So part three and four will be conducted this weekend. The donation for the event is $4.95 for the entire weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 3 or 4 p.m. Even if you missed last weekend, you can still learn a lot from this weekend. Because in my opinion, this weekend's topics are where most people fall off the cliff. It's where they get stuck. This is where they don't understand. If you attend this event, And if you missed last weekend, just ask some of your listeners who attended it what they got out of it. Listen to our last show Tuesday of this week and listen to some of the commentary, some of the testimonials. They didn't come from my mouth. I never speak for myself, or rarely do I. So we look forward to your attendance and participation this weekend. You can contact us at debtshow@yahoo.com. If you want to be reserve a seat, we have about 5 seats left. And if you want to participate, you have the opportunity to. It'll be an opportunity that I don't think you'll have to gain this knowledge, because I circulate the underground when I have the opportunity to. I listen to some of the topics and information discussed, as well as my team and other participants and members and contributors. I get feedback on what is needed and what is not. I try not to duplicate effort if the information is being put out there in a substantive way. I'm not trying to duplicate effort. I'm trying to provide information that is not being given out there. So join us this weekend. DebtShow@yahoo.com is the email address. Also, go to our website. We have information there. And you can also reach us on Skype at Thor.ministry. All right. We're going to get into some information before I bring in my panel. We got some raw news to discuss today. There's been appearingly a change in environment. And the courts, the jurists, the governmental bodies, the legal society appears to be going on the offensive and holding some of those accountable for the oppressive debt collection that has been perpetrated upon many of you as consumers. You notice I did not say borrowers or mortgagors. I said consumers. If Thor's not done anything, and if I'm not done anything, I have put out enough information into the universe and throughout this show for the past several months, and in the archives that is available to you, I've demonstrated to you that if you do not know what protections you have as a consumer, and if you do not know how, when and where the debt collectors are obligated to you, as well as your creditors. And you might have a great job. You might be a doctor. You might be a lawyer. You might be an engineer. You might have a good job. But at the end of the day, when you make a dollar in this society, you're coming home with only 40 or 50 cents of it. And then as you engage in commerce and acquire debts and things of that nature, I can rest assured that you're paying someone that you're not obligated to pay. It's just a fact. Why? Because we wasn't educated on who we pay. We were educated to just pay whoever asked for money. As long as the letterhead looked nice, pretty and structured, or the communication came from someone of the legal society, then obviously, if they're dunning us, we should pay them. all of y'all can admit we were trained like that. We were brainwashed into thinking that from school. We were educated with false history, false teaching, wholesale education. That many times only resulted in us being in an unemployment line or getting a good job, making good money, but bringing home a very small fraction of that. So we became a victim of society, of economics. The mortgage bubble burst, and all of us collapsed with it. All of us suffered unemployment, depending on our economy and our society and our government and the United States Corporation to prop us up. Meanwhile, a little known arena, little known to many of you, but as a whole, is responsible for moving commerce in a very, very substantial way. And that's the debt collection arena. The debt collection arena is responsible for some of you that are patriots, the creation of money, the creation of debts. They could take an account that's charged off that a company may have received credit in the form of a write-off. They're able to purchase those debts for a nickel and collect anywhere upwards of $1 to $2 or $3 in some cases based on their investment of a nickel. That arena, to be honest with you, is a bigger arena than the lending institutions. So I shared with you that the cost to print for the Federal Reserve to print a $1 bill is no different than the cost to print a $100 bill. The cost to fund a credit transaction, mortgage transaction, doesn't cost that much either. The value is in the currency. But if you think the real money is in the lending institution, you're entirely wrong. The real money is in the debt collector slot machine, which is put in a nickel 90% of the time. And you'll hear that bell go off on that machine, and it will ring out $2 or $3 based on your ignorance of the law. That's where the real money is. In order to do a mortgage transaction, Layla will be able to tell you, you have to have a funding department, underwriting department, secretaries, credit analysts, mortgage companies. Oh, it's just so much involved in doing a credit transaction. For example, a mortgage. It's not a nickel investment. You got to record things. You got to send papers. The attorneys have to be involved. Notaries have to be involved. There's a lot of money in that. But there's a lot of money involved. So for the lending institution, that's a headache. It's worth it for that dead pledge. But let's look at the real money. Once you default on that obligation, which almost certainly you're going to do, how many of you been married for 30 years? How many of you had a boyfriend for 30 years or a girlfriend? How many of you went 30 years without taking a drink, although you might have promised on New Year's you were going to stop? How many of you have lied when you promised you were going to stop lying? Have any of you done it for 30 years? Have many of you gone through life for 30 years and not made a mistake, not had a hiccup, not had a week where you didn't have much money left? 30 years is absolutely a long time for you to go without missing a payment on something, as far as a mortgage. I mean, many of you don't know that every decade we're having some economic crisis, a war, a plunge in currency, some scandal. You think you're going to be able to go 30 years and the company, every U.S. company does great? How many have not been affected by economics? You think you're going to go 30 years with making a dollar at work and only bringing home 30 or 40 cents? So you were going to default on that 30-year obligation, and they bet on it. Hedge funds, credit default swap insurances, they were just waiting for you to give them the opportunity to pay that nickel, which is 4 to 5% of the face amount of that alleged debt, is what the debt collectors pay. And with that nickel, they don't need an underwriting department. They don't need an attorney. They don't need a secretary necessarily. They don't have any recording fees, any notary fees. They don't have any appraisals. All they have to do is to form a little debt collection company, which costs about $300 to $400, I guess, and a staff of some rehab drug users or alcohol users or ex-felons or incarcerated people. Qualifications are very low. And we all know you can pay those individuals, and there's no knock on those individuals at all. Please don't think that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to paint a picture of the quality that it takes. If you were to hire somebody like a Layla that is a mortgage broker and has 25 years experience, you're going to pay top dollar for her to make sure that your loan is done properly. But when you get into the debt collection arena, you don't need Laylas anymore. You just need debt collectors, some that may be smart, some that may be not. We've had some former debt collectors on the show. That's all you need. And he's told you that quality of employees and the turnaround, the type of people that work there, sometimes he don't even know if they were woke. So you pay a nickel for the debt, and for all intent and purposes, you pay a nickel for the employees, for the type that you get. You pay another nickel for a facility, and you got 15 cents in a debt that you're collecting $2 or $3 from. Now that's a deal. That's a deal. That's a better deal than the initial transaction where I need all those professionals and all those big wigs that are making $100,000, $200,000 a year, all those real estate agents that I have to pay commission to. No, the better deal is being a debt collector. Think about that. I'm opening up my line, Rudy, Layla, and Lori. Whoever wants to go first.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Layla. Greetings, everyone. Can you hear me clearly?
Greetings. Yes, we can.
Awesome. I was just chuckling as you were talking, Brother Sharif. And, you know, this is Free Your Mind Friday, so I've been kind of holding in and just wanted to free my mind, if you don't mind.
Help yourself.
Thank you so much. You know, when Brother Shrew talked about how, you know, we frequent different programs. You know, I've been associated with a program or two prior to coming to Thor. And I will tell you guys, I also generated a letter this week, and I had Brother Sharif take a look at it. And he goes, no, that's not good. And I'm back at the drawing board again. And when you hear Brother Sharif say that it is simple, but it's not easy, I guarantee you guys that he is speaking the truth. You know, he may talk about how maybe smart or intelligent I am, but I am very, very humble. I told Brother Sharif earlier this week, I said, he's my mentor, and I sit at his feet, and I'm happy to sit at his feet as a master at what he does. Now, think about this. If you are associated with any of these other programs, which, you know, like I said, I had been, and I'm no longer, they're teaching and preaching, if you will, these different processes. And I happened to be on the phone earlier this week, and that's what brings me to this point. Lori and I, you know, we're family. We're an inner family. And Lori and I were on the phone, and we just cracked up. I'm going to share with you why we cracked up. But, you know, if your leaders that you're going to are now talking about the debt collection, I mean, the consumer protection laws and the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, I think that you ought to really take heed on knowing whether or not they really know what they're talking about, because this is the lane that Brother Sharif has been in apparently for 10, 15 years. He has been new on the scene coming out to the world as of November, but he is masterful and what he does. That's all I got to say, because when I wrote my letter, I thought I was doing good. And he said, no, that's not going to work. I'm like, oh, dang. And I was frustrated with myself, because there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn. And if you just do away with the things that you know and just come to the master who knows this arena through and through, then you're going to be so much better off. I mean, I understand the concept, but when you get to the application, guys, now you really got to put what you know. I just wanted to share with everyone. I wrote a letter. You know, if you are new to this broadcast for your very first time, we welcome you. For those of you who've been around, you know, kind of know what my journey has been to some degree. I have just to share with some people. I'm in a non-judicial state. So therefore, for those people who don't understand this, that means that if you are in what they call this alleged foreclosure proceeding, they do not have to bring you to court. So that in a non-judicial state, that process can move a lot faster, obviously, if you don't have to go through the court system. So I have been engaged in this for quite some time, and I found a letter. I was just going through my materials, and I found a letter that I had written. Brother Sharif, I wrote this letter August of 2013, and this was in relation to an attorney firm that was seeking the foreclosure process against my property. And it just so happens that Lori and I, with this particular firm, we have the same, I don't have this firm any longer, but Lori has the same firm that she has been dealing with. And this letter, I'm just going to read some excerpts of it. I'm in receipt of your letter dated July 13, okay? And this letter has indicated as a review of a letter that I had written to them in September the year before. So it had almost been a year, almost a year since they responded back to me, which is crazy. But in this letter, I cite discharge of my debt pertaining to UCC. I say in this letter, furthermore, I requested bona fide proof of claim from them. And this is the clincher, too. It says, as a third-party debt collector, which your letterhead exhibits, your silence is your acquiescence. Therefore, you have no authority, according to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, to pursue legal action.
You had some semen in there. But you had a whole lot of tomatoes and lettuce and salt and pepper and, you know, and some love letter in there. And you threw some UCC in there. You know, we all use that stuff. And, now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I know you look on that letter, and when you dissect it, I mean, look, at least you mentioned the law that applied. Now, the UCC and all that, you have to understand what that UCC is for, but I'm going to ask you a question based on your experiences over the last couple of months, 2 or 3 months you've been with Thor. And I asked Lori and Rudy that question as well. From all of the information contained in your commercial Bibles, which is the FDCPA, the FCRA, and the TCPA, as well as your state consumer protection laws, those are your Bibles, and those laws should be affixed on your end table next to your religious Bible. Whatever that is. So when you look at all those laws and all the cases we done study and all the orders you done read and all the articles you've read, okay, have you ever, 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 ever seen any of those court orders or any of those complaints or any of those conclusions, wins or losses, have you ever heard mention of the UCC?
No, not at all. And I'm going to tell you, we bust out laughing because I just happened to be going through something. I said, oh, I found this letter. And I started reading it. I was like, oh, my goodness, I had some meat on that. And you know what? I said, yeah, I cited the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And I said, you know, in this letter, I said, please be informed that failure to provide what I was asking for to pursue foreclosure proceedings will be an attempt to take real property by way of theft, by deception, larceny, and trickery. All felonious acts.
You done told them. You done told them they committed a crime. Lord have mercy. You know, that's what they were saying back then. I mean, I know of a lot of buildings, bricks and mortars that's been arrested. I don't know where they got the custom handcuffs to put on the bricks or them buildings or them steps or them posts. But, you know, that was all, you know, that was the victim letter. That was the love letter. That was the threat that I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to come to your building and, you know, and I, you know, the UCC and, you know, listen, we know about the Uniform Commercial Code. I'm not going to get into it because it's not relevant to what we do. But again, I have not seen one judgment or order from a court that paid somebody some monetary sum because they violated the Uniform Commercial Code. Now, I've seen some defenses. To some debt collection action, maybe mentioning the Uniform Commercial Code. But let me ask you a question. Is the Uniform Commercial Code mentioned within those three commercial Bibles, the Consumer Protection Law Bibles? No. Have they been used in any case in conjunction with a consumer protection case? Well, no. Well, let me give you a suggestion as to why maybe that is. Maybe that Uniform Commercial Code stuff may apply to a creditor debtor relationship. That's just a hint. Okay? Just a little bit of a hint. You know, because look, there's a lot of smart attorneys out there. And look, I'm sure if they could add a cause of action that would result in a check for them or their client, I promise you I would have seen somebody winning some money, because that's all we care about over here at Thor, is economic uplifting and empowerment. If it enables you to win some money, somebody would have done it by now. But go ahead, Layla.
Yeah, so, you know, I share that with the family because I just went back in time just to see how my evolution, I mean, I just throw everything at them and see what sticks. That's really what that letter depicts. You know, I, you know, I'm so grateful to the Most High to bring me to Thor, and I want to go on record by saying that if you're not listening to what Brother Sharif is saying, and if you're not jumping on the webinar this weekend, then I just feel sorry for you because you're going to be lost. We need to take away all of that garbage that you just heard me read and just deal with the consumer protection laws. That is the way out. I mean, literally, this for the first time I shared with you all in the last broadcast that I am the happiest that I've ever been because now I see the light at the end. I see the light, and I'm moving toward the light. Now, my own personal frustrations are, well, darn, I'm accustomed to being at the top of my game and whatever it is that I do. So I have a long way to go. I mean, I'm learning at a more rapid rate, I think, but I still have a lot more to go. And I sit humbly at Brother Sharif's feet because he is the master at this. He knows how to wield it. Now we talked about the TCPA. I mean, that to me is like, oh gosh. Okay, here we go. We got to learn some more. But it's incredible. And before I pass the baton on to one of my sisters, I just wanted to talk to you. I mean, I if any of you are familiar with T. Harv Eker, it's really, really important to understand how the wealthy think. And he has left some tidbits of knowledge for people to understand if you want to make a transition in your life for anything that you're doing, that you employ some principles to be able to get you there. He says, become a great learner. Rich people constantly learn and grow. Poor people think they already know. Every master was once a disaster. You can learn to be great at anything. And that's what I aim to be. I want to be among those that are enriched, to be able to empower myself and be able to do some things that, although I was able to do, I want to be able to do things a lot greater than before. So with that, I just love you all. We'll be talking shortly as I pass the baton. Back to you, Brother Sharif.
All right. Lori, and then we'll save the mother for last.
Yes, yes, yes. Get a Montrix up here in the house of four. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like using some Jedi Montrix. Obi-Wan Kenobi. That was a funny deal. Layla and I was laughing to where I was crying when we were reading that. I could not breathe when she was reading that letter, and we were sharing with each other some letters that we had written. And, you know, and one of my, just to follow my sword so Layla's not out there, you know, running in the wind by herself, just follow my sword, I sent, you know, a letter with the Lord's Prayer in it, man. To a law firm way back in the day. And, you know, they probably took that up to the bar. They made copies. They probably took it up to the bar. They were all laughing, and they're like, I bet you they drank a bottle of tequila on that letter and just rolled and howled. Look at this girl. She is crazy. But anyway, what we got to laughing about so hard is how the universe, how it just conspires to put you on autocorrect at all times, if you will let it. And you notice in her letter, she mentioned the FDCPA, and here she is. She's come full circle. So it's like, it's just, it's all good. It's all good. We're all here for a reason, and the reason's you. I dig it. Everybody have a good day today as we're learning.
Before I let Rudy, thank you, Lori. And that's funny when you mention the Lord's Prayer, because I'm explaining to y'all, there are a few major debt collectors out there that I know, and some of the legal society that are representing these debt collectors that are having meetings in the morning, and they are saying the Lord's Prayer because they are praying that some of the members of Thor and some of the people that have sought assistance with their debt matters, I'm telling you right now, in front of all of you and the Creator, I know that a few of them are saying the Lord's Prayer. And we didn't
Absolutely.
Write it. because
I know
I'm telling you right now, the hammer of Thor is real. I want to talk to y'all about the myth and the reason why the creator brought the Thor name to me, but I want to talk about when we talk about that hammer. Okay? In ancient times and in myths, the Thor's hammer is the most valued treasure of the gods. Okay? And Thor uses it to defend gods and humans from the giants, who represent basically the destructive forces of nature, basically the destructive forces of the consumers in this case. All right? So y'all have to understand, when I say the hammer's been brought down, okay? And when you go into the history and you read about Thor, just go Google about Thor and that hammer. Well, we know that hammer is used in many legal environments, okay? And when you go into Thor's history, there was a secondary reason for that hammer. It was interpreted as blessing Thor, okay? In the Icelandic saga, there is record of people making the sign of the hammer over food and as a symbol of blessing, all right? And it was used to bless marriage and a funeral pride. So this hammer has very, very significant historical meaning. And trust me, the hammer is having a significant meaning with some of these debt collectors. Because I'm telling you right now, Thor doesn't play. Thor does not play. And if you're not at this class this weekend and last weekend, and if you haven't listened to the entire archive, you will not have a feel of how that hammer demonstrates its power and how a consumer wielding that hammer, what they are able to accomplish, not defensively. I would hate to go through life and have to, every time I turn the corner, be defending something. There are hundreds of debt collectors out there. There are hundreds of entities out there. There are hundreds of agencies out there. There are hundreds of people out there telling you what to do. You cannot live life being on the defense. So Thor teaches you how to be on the offense. And just certain language, certain phrases, certain one sentence, when you listen to Layla's lettering, I have letters from back in the days too where I first started, and you would be able to tell how I act when I just came into the information, because there was a lot of emotions in my diction. And for those of you that don't know what diction means, you need to come to the class this weekend. There was a lot of emotions in my diction because I was very emotional about the information I was learning, because I felt like, man, I've been bamboozled all this time. So I wanted to demonstrate my knowledge. I wanted to show them that I knew now. Yeah, yeah, I knew. I don't do that anymore. I'm very poised. I'm very quiet. I'm a silent assassin. I love Columbo. If y'all don't know about Columbo, the detective from the old days, my mother used to watch Columbo all the time. And I love Columbo because he always had that little silly little dumb look, like he didn't know anything. He was always squinting his eyes and always scratching his forehead. And he would ask questions that appeared to be very, very simple. And he was poised, which means he would interview a guy. And he says, hey, how you doing? You know, I am Columbo. I'm still investigating this thing. And that's how he talked to. And I think he smoked cigarettes. I don't know. And he says, well, you remember when I asked you this the last time? You kind of said this. But then when I asked you about that, you kind of said that. Can you explain to me why your answer changed? I mean, he was just so smooth and poised. He didn't roll out his old case before them. He set minds in traps every time he opened his mouth. And after several interviews, he had set so many minds in traps that that person he was investigating could not turn anywhere without blowing up on his previous statements. This is what has occurred in a few cases that Thor has been involved in dealing with. And you've heard some of them provide testimony on these shows, and some of them you haven't heard. But I will say to you that when you are poised and you have no emotion and you rely upon strategy and your common knowledge, that these debt collectors almost have to lie every time they attempt to collect the debt from you, you will just set traps. And you will set traps, and you will set traps, and you will get them to talk, and you will get them to write, and you will get them to do their diction, and you will get them to plead, and you will get them to write letters, and you will get them to admit certain things. And if you're fortunate enough to get into discovery, then you really will get to see how powerful that hammer is when it's in your hand. And there's nothing, nothing in this world better than the feeling of graduating, let's say, high school or college. You were proud, your family was there, you had achieved the goal, you had worked hard for it throughout years, and you completed the test. And everybody celebrated. You went in to school uneducated, and you believed to come out educated, at least to their standards. There's nothing like coming from where Layla was in that letter, and most of us were, into the reality and education that we are at now, to where we can have fun, be confident, play Columbo, ask questions, watch the traps be set, and watch them wiggle in the trap, cage form. And then after we have them in the trap, with all four corners blocked, as we were, in the dark about the knowledge and education, as we watch them in the trap, we just approach the trap and we pull out that Thor hammer. And we don't hit them in the head because we're not violent consumers. We just tell them, give me your checkbook and write a check pursuant to law for this amount for the damages you caused. There's nothing like that feeling. When you're dealing with entities that have purportedly some of the smartest people in their field, and as well they're being defended by some of the most skilled and educated in the legal field, and you beat them, not relying upon their skills, but relying upon two things: your knowledge of the law and the truth. Yes, the truth, the facts. Not the jibber-jabber, not the talk, but the fact. There's been some enormous successes due to this environment that's been created here at Thor. And I'm talking about enormous. I know of many of them, and there's many I don't know about and I learn about that I didn't even think we had something to do with. Enormous. We thank the Creator and the Most High for that. We want everybody on the side of our weak voice to experience the hammer that can be formed in your hand when you educate yourself on being a consumer and what those laws are. And that those laws provide you offense the result being currency being paid to you for that debt collector violating the law, even if they had a good debt. I'm going to let Rudy come in and I'm going to get into the show. I'm going to share some things with y'all that probably you'll be quite surprised about. Nonetheless, Mother Rudy.
Good morning, good morning. Hello and happy day.
Good morning.
Happy Friday to everybody. Today, as you've already heard, is Free Your Mind Friday. Our word for today is expectation, which is anticipation, which is hoping, which is and or belief. Coming off the heels of Thor University's weekend classes last week, we are looking forward. We're looking towards the upcoming classes starting tomorrow, and our expectations are 1, 2, 3. 1, first of all, that you will be there. Secondly, that you will bring a friend. Thirdly, we anticipate that this weekend the classes will be far better than the ones last week. And I may add, certainly that will be a very, very hard act to follow. But nevertheless, based on the last classes, we now have information that has formed a solid, sound foundation to build on and move forward. We are expecting more great things starting tomorrow. Please join us on tomorrow. It is not too late to sign up. Happy, happy Friday.
Thank you, thank you. And let me say this, thank you, Rudy. It's a blessing to have our mother, Rudy, here. And we call her mother because of her tenure on this earth, her relevance, her importance. She is a paramount figure in the religious and spiritual society. And she's earned that title. She's earned it. And Rudy is here. She's been in just about every environment one can name because ministry takes you in areas that most people think you shouldn't be, but is where ministry needs to be. And she's heard the worst of them. And I don't think too much of the best of them because Rudy has, for all intents and purposes, if he was to place her geographically in this earth, Rudy probably has been ministering in the hood of life, meaning the people that were the sick mentally, emotionally, spiritually, depleted. Rudy's been exposed to information that most of us probably never heard of. And her transition here over to Thor was due to the Creator giving her the opportunity to hear me on a show. And as you know, with mothers and parents and spiritual people, they have a very broad sense of discernment because they're more spiritually in tune than others. And something that she heard within the spirit that was placed in me to say, I got to have this young man over there. I gotta have him talk. I like what he's saying. And from then, there was something that stayed with her that made her take an interest in what we were doing, what I was doing. And then there was something in me that connected with her spirit that advanced the offer for her to join this team. And she took her time in making that decision. She didn't, you know, I offered her the position, and she said, let me think about it. Okay? She didn't jump right on it. And she didn't ask me what the salary was. She says, let me look at what you're doing. The salary might be the education that I'm going to get. And that's what has been her salary, because she is able to help herself understand what she's been going through. And she's been able to do a complete detox of information that wasn't even relevant. And she probably went through times where she was a little bit angry that she even gave some of the information that she had, the breath of life. But we all go through that. And I'm glad to have her here. But I want to discuss information today when you talk about the class. I've gotten a lot of people joining this class because the people that participated in that class thought so much of it, they went and got some people and came back and said, you have to come to this class. You have to. And that has happened. And for those of you, I thank you. Okay? I don't take those things lightly. I really put a lot into what I do, and I try to give you, all of you, my experiences. And I learned at an early age, I was the type of teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old, to where I would talk on the park bench with the elderly, with the older people. And I always wanted to get some advanced information on life so that my life would be a little bit more substantive, as opposed to me just wanting to go through life learning for myself. I always wanted to use the eyes of people that had been there to direct me and navigate me so I didn't have to just do 10 push-ups when I could have done 2 and been on to the next thing. So I've always had an affinity for the elderly. I always spoke with them, and I always wanted the knowledge and the wisdom, and I've always been a young old man even when I was a teenager. So the information that the Creator allows me and the universe gives to me is a blessing to you because it's my experiences. It's my testimony. And I don't have to use fancy words, fancy language, and I really think that turns a lot of people off. I'm able to present the information, I believe, and from what I hear, clear enough for everybody. And we take that serious. Thor is not promoting any anti-any information. We're not anti-government. We're not anti-court. We're not anti-rules. We're not anti-law. We're not anti- We're all pro-consumer, pro-people, pro-everybody do their job, we will do ours. Thor is also not a debt elimination group. We don't just eliminate any debt. We just don't pay illegitimate debts. Thor has always taught and will continue to teach to honor your contracts and obligations in life. And one of those obligations we take serious is to be honest with the people, our level of knowledge. And we take that serious. We don't experiment with anything around here. There's a lot of things I'd like to say based on my belief, but I'm not going to say it because I'm not trying to get you to believe anything I believe. The only thing I share with you and we share with you is our experience and what we've done and the success we've had and the failures that we've had. So when I'm able to provide that information to you over the course of 10, 12, 13 years and you not have to go through that just because you feel you want to exercise some common sense, that's a blessing. And again, we're not talking about religious beliefs or how to rule the world or how to come out of system. Them when you understand it, it's good. It can reward you. It can pay you. We've demonstrated that multiple times. We don't put you through a process that takes a year or 6 months and you have to be perfect just like they expect you to be in those 30 years of mortgage payments and not miss a payment. We don't do that nonsense. Everybody here would be able to, on my panel, and I'm sure if I open up the lines, I can give you tens of people that's gotten immediate success doing what we've told them to do. Layla's here, and she ventured off here. Somehow she heard us somewhere, and she had a situation dealing with a foreclosure, and Brother Sharif went and asked Thor. Thor said that he would. We opened up the nice box with the hammer in it. We chiseled out some communications, and Layla's not in foreclosure anymore. One communication. Layla's not in foreclosure anymore. I mean, she's told you that. As a matter of fact, it's been 2 or 3 months and Layla hasn't heard a peep out of these alleged creditors. And you know, creditors don't go away. I mean, creditors, if you owe a creditor some money, I mean, you owe them money. But for some reason, I don't know what happened. They decided to abandon ship coming after Layla. I'm not saying they may not have docked somewhere and wanted to refuel and put some more soldiers on the boat because they probably know they're going to need a bunch of soldiers. But, you know, if need be, we'll engage them in whatever attempt they would like to take. But I would think that they understand now that their attempt will more than likely cost them more money than the positive results they feel they would have making that attempt. And this is what I say about leveraging the playing field. You cannot stop a theft of anything of yours if society and the legal society doesn't deem it a theft. You have to use some law that gives you the opportunity to be compensated for whatever violation they're committing. Now, many of you always want to say, what is stop a foreclosure? I don't know. When you ask me that, I think many of you just still do not get it that you need to look up the legal definition of a foreclosure. And I don't think many of you are in it. Some of you are in a legitimate foreclosure. I've told many of you, no, you got an obligation. You need to work it out. You're in default, seriously. You have a mortgagee and a creditor in front of you, seriously. See, what we say here at Thor is not broad. It's not generally or general. Okay? So how do you stop it? You probably can't. You can defend it, and you should. You must. But you may not be successful because generally the court is going to assume or presume, depending on what you say, that they're a creditor. And you have to be prepared to defend that. But what you also have to be prepared to do is the most important part, is that if they can steal your property or convince the court that they are a creditor based on the fact that you didn't defend it well, then it's going to occur. So the only thing you have is to use your commercial Bible, rather your 3 or 4 commercial Bibles, inclusive of the state and federal consumer protection laws, and find every violation within the framework of those codes, every single last one of them, and build your case. In other words, you have a house over here that may be on fire. You know that the fire department is going to take probably an hour or two, or maybe they will never get there to put it out. What do you do? Do you try to use a cup of water to put it out, or do you just go a little bit to the left or to the right and say, let me just start building another house? Because that one may or may not burn. What is that other house? Your complaint on the consumer protection laws. So you send a message to that fire department, if y'all don't get there and burn down, I'm just going to hold you accountable. That's all. I can't put it out. I don't have enough knowledge. I can't put it out. I don't have the sophisticated hoses. I don't have the equipment. But I do have a law that says if you let my house burn down and you let somebody damage me or injure me, that I have this law over here to say that I can go ahead and sue you and be compensated for an amount exceeding the amount of that house. So in other words, if you're in foreclosure, you got to create another house for you and make them pay for it. They may decide to send the fire department out a little bit quicker and put the fire out, stop the injury, stop the damage. Most times they do. In Layla's case, in many other cases, that they absolutely do. But there's no emotions in what I do and what Thor does. And if you go back and you listen to a call 2 or 3 months ago and Layla called, you will hear in the spirit of her voice the confusion, the conflict, the desire for help, for guidance. She wasn't begging. She just wanted to know what she can do, and she was willing to do it herself. She was willing to learn. She never asked for anything. She said, teach me how to do it. So I went to the Thor God, and I said, look, I think Layla would be a great instrument because she's been in that society, that mortgage society. And Thor God, would you be willing to teach her so she can go back to those people that she assisted in that society and maybe provide some help, because we know they wasn't perfect for 30 years. But maybe they had the ability to be if our national banking system didn't commit all the atrocities that they did. The Thor God helped Layla, and we don't know where they're at. In my experience, once you kind of pull out the shotgun, and Lori would know this, shoot a double yard buck up in the air, you know, everybody hears the sound of a shotgun cocking. You may not hear that pistol or that revolver, but when you hear that ch-ch, everybody's familiar with that sound. Those debt collectors for Layla heard that shotgun, and they said, we're not going to rob her, at least not now. We're going to wait until we can catch her off guard. Meanwhile, let me tell you how smart Layla is, and let me tell you some of the things that y'all do all the time. Once y'all get that debt collector to just stop for a minute when they're about to break into your house or they're about to steal your house, and they stop and you get them to run away for a minute, you don't know when they're coming back. You get comfortable. And you go back to eating popcorn, paying for your cable bill, going on a trip, buying you some clothes, buying some TVs for your car, spending all that money, and sitting down talking about, scared them away this time. But you didn't put any gates on the window. You didn't change the locks. You didn't put a double bolt on it. You didn't do anything. You just waited for the next time they tried, and then you ran to a show, or you ran to your guru, or you ran to us, and you said, hey, what can you do? They're trying to steal again. Well, you knew the last time they were going to come back. What did you do? Nothing. You went back to eating popcorn and paying your cable bill. You didn't educate yourself. You didn't learn. You didn't hire an attorney. You didn't do anything in between that time. Layla did, though. Layla said, I've been running around here all these months and years. I sent them this letter in 2013. It didn't do nothing. This man I just met on the call, I called in. He does one thing, and they've been gone for a while. I have to learn what he did. And y'all know what I told Layla when she asked? You got to be a member. You got to pay me $12,500. I got a silver package for $7,500. And you got to be in my class for 1 year and do what I say. I'm just kidding. No, I said, Layla, I think you're experienced enough, and I think you can add something to consumer society. So come aboard and get your education. And this is where she is now. Listen to her now. And go back and listen to her call when she called in. And just listen to the comfort level. Listen to the confidence level. Just listen. Many of you have experienced the same. We have students here, Brother Maynard, Brother Amin, and many others that are at a different level and different comfort level and educational level to where, listen to yourself, the last show, the show before that, or months before that, and listen to yourself now. Then reflect on the colleges you went to, high schools that you went to, continuing ed, and say to yourself, they taught us how to get a great job, pay good money, but they didn't tell me for every dollar I make, I'm only bringing home 35, 40 cents. They didn't tell me that I got debt collectors that can pay a nickel and fool me into paying $2 or $3. That would have been a better business. Shouldn't they have a degree on debt collection or consumer protection? Why don't they have a class on that? Oh, go figure. But you got your education, your start, or your introduction to this very important information, economic information, from Thor. For most of you, you didn't pay anything for it. Because you can easily listen to one show and hear Thor says, pull out your consumer Bibles, the FDCPA, the FCRA, and TCPA, and you cannot listen to anything else we say and go read those and be like, holy crap. Look at what I found. Do you not think hundreds of people has listened to Thor over the months and did just that and read it for themselves and said, holy goodness, what is this? It changed my life. But for those of you that continue to listen, you've gotten an education here free based on the beliefs, passion, and care that Thor and this team and myself gives out freely. And that information, as you should learn, is the difference between having a dollar or having a nickel. Being on welfare in Section 8 because you lost your house to a debt collector, depending on the government and your president to extend unemployment benefits, depending on maybe food stamps to feed yourself because the debt collectors have taken all your money. And then if you got a job today, the fact that you made a dollar and you only bring home 35 cents and then they're taking a dollar from a nickel investment, how are you ever going to get anywhere in life, no matter where you think you are, no matter who you think you are? If you do not understand the consumer protection laws, you're not going too far. You're just not. If you don't understand that the consumer protection laws that we demonstrated on Tuesday reaches into areas you did not know, you're not going anywhere. If you don't realize from listening to the power of those three credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, you need to go listen to that show and understand who really controls commerce. Because many of you, many of the language and the shows and the gurus that I hear is always talking about the banks. Sometimes the banks take a beating that's not even deserving of them. Some of you hate the banks, and I love them. Because they can afford you a lifestyle beyond your wildest belief, beyond any degree you've acquired. Understanding the consumer protection laws can afford you a lifestyle far beyond what you think you're doing now. If you're making $100,000 a year, I promise you, your education on the consumer protection laws, you'll be worth $200,000 a year or more easily, because you will stop paying people that you're not supposed to. Let's talk about some articles in recent news that's happened. over just between Tuesday's show and today. There has been a few noteworthy cases of attorney generals, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Against members of the legal society, attorneys. Now, I'm going to make everybody understand this, and I'm going to be clear. I do not like attorneys. I have good friends that are attorneys. I have learned in this arena that there are some really morally and ethically sound-minded attorneys out there. Absolutely. And I do not place a label, so to speak, on everybody for the acts of a few. But I do place a label on a society or a group body politic for the acts of more than a few. And if those acts by the few account for the damage and oppression of many, hundreds of thousands of many, and when I speak of hundreds of thousands of many, it was a case, and if you're on the email mailing list, you receive some information from me regarding the state of Colorado, an attorney general for the state of Colorado, suing the Castle Law Group. And I know Castle Law Group was a household name in the foreclosure and debt collection arena. And the state sued the Castle Law Group. Absolute Posting and Process Services, what do you think they are? They're the ones serving the complaints. Did y'all know that a lot of these process servers are owned by members of the legal society as well as the debt collection companies? I'm just letting you know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Look, let me tell you something. If there was a machine in Vegas that I can go to and put a nickel in and I knew that it was paying real well, I'm going to be at that machine. I don't care what you say. But if me being at that machine means that I'm stealing other people's proceeds, then I'm not going to be at that machine. That's just me. I don't know. I'm not a licensed attorney. So but I do know that as a licensed individual, you have code of ethics and morals. They want you to be ethical and moral in your behavior while operating under that license, which is given by at state. And this particular law firm and many others was not. And we know they were. So the Attorney General of Colorado went against the Real Estate Records Research, Colorado American Title, oh, the title companies. They went after Lawrence Castle and Karen Castle and Ryan O'Connell and in their personal capacity and in their limited liability capacity as a corporation formed under the state of Colorado, which means they got permission from that state to do what they're doing, and that state is responsible and liable for what they do. They went after them because they were watching the big boys, the boys that started off as a law firm maybe, you know, doing personal injury cases, I don't know, family law, divorces, maybe some debt collection. But they wasn't big time. For all intents and purposes, they might have rolled around in Honda Civics, Honda Accords, or Oldsmobiles. You know, they wasn't big boys. They ate at Applebee's and Ruby Tuesdays and maybe here and there a fine restaurant. But then something happened. The real estate bubble exploded. And these alleged debts became, in my opinion, in belief, totally uncollectible. They were paid off several times by different insurances. They were written off. They were charged off. And then the real business comes in and takes over. Who is that? The debt collectors. They started buying up these worthless pieces of papers for 3, 4, 5 cents on a dollar. Castle Law Firm was one of them, in my belief. They might have shared some of the proceeds with some of the banks. Or, in my opinion, they might have just bought all of those and said, look, we'll buy them. They got together with some of their big wigs, you know, the ties and connections that they make. And they say, look, how about you get a couple of $1 million and we'll buy like $200 million in these foreclosure instruments, man, and we'll just go at it. And in my opinion, although I don't have any personal first-hand knowledge of what I'm saying, it's my belief based on my tenure in this arena. And they became bigwigs, meaning some of them went and bought buildings, okay, to house all of their employees to do what? Take the American people's homes on an obligation not belonging to them, based on an obligation they never funded. And to be honest with you, based on the instrument language and the parties in those instruments, they didn't even fund it. And they decided to do foreclosures to the tune of roughly 275,000. Now, those same attorneys that was in the little corner store, I mean shop or office, maybe two or three of them were sharing. In some respect, maybe some of them shared the same phone number. They now have a building the size of Trump Towers. And they're rolling around in Bentleys and buying yachts and doing all the things like those David Stern guys did. Right? They became millionaires off of what? Stealing your house. And they didn't steal it. Let me just put it like that. They were morally and ethically wrong in the way they did it, but the law was always available to you. You just didn't know it. You were busy going to work, trying to keep that 30-year record perfect of paying your mortgage. They didn't steal it. If I was an attorney and you said that to me, I would look at you and be like, stop playing victim. We didn't steal anything. At all times, we were referring to that contract. At all times, you had an opportunity to say, you're not a creditor. You're a debt collector, aren't you? So the thing about it is that the state started looking at all these little lawyers that became big lawyers. Now, they weren't eating at the mom-and-pop diner anymore. They were holding steak picnics at their house and caviar and fish eyes and snail tails and monkey ears and all those other delicates. You know, like, oh, wait a minute. I graduated law school with Bobby. Bobby's driving a Bentley or Benz. Or he bought a house down there where so-and-so lives. What is he doing? Oh, he has a foreclosure firm. Oh, really? Well, don't think it's not some jealousy that goes on in societies now. Okay? So they're like, well, let's look and see what he's doing. So they've been watching this law firm for 2 years. 2 years. And they're just looking at the foreclosure cases, and they were grabbing the documentation that is public knowledge. And they were looking at the fees, and they were looking at who they were doing, looking at the assignments. They were just like, okay, let them roll. And they let them roll up to $275,000. Now, they might have just started watching them when they were up to $175,000. Maybe they might have caught the last $5,000, maybe the last $500,000. But at any rate, this group was able to do 275,000 foreclosures. And the complaint said that they inflated the cost they incurred for foreclosure, which they almost do on every last one of your cases. Okay. They fraudulently obtained tens of millions of dollars in unlawful proceeds, just in the proceeds. They agreed to perform these routine foreclosures for a flat attorney fee. They viewed this fee as sufficient and devised a scheme to generate additional millions by inflating those foreclosures. Now, who was watching them? Who was keeping an eye on them? Homeowners, purchasers, investors, and taxpayers paid for and continue to pay for these fraudulent charges. I don't know where the taxpayers pay for it. Where does that come at? I mean, as far as I know, the debt continues to carry on the back of the homeowner. Defendants and intentionally misrepresent. Did y'all hear that word, misrepresent? Didn't y'all find that word a few times in your commercial Bibles, the FDCPA, FCRA? So when you see the attorney generals plead something like that and you see that word, you'd be like, that's one of my words. Let me play the match word game. That word is over here in the FDCPA, meaning I have a private right of action to go and do what the attorney generals did. You should have known you had a right to do that before they determined that they had a right to do it. But at any rate, they charge unreasonable, unauthorized, that's another word, unlawful, and deceptive costs. Those words are in your commercial Bibles. For posting foreclosure notices, obtaining title products, preparing documents, providing other foreclosure-related services. Defendants get away with this expensive fraud by taking advantage of the inherent lack of oversight in the foreclosure process. Now, did you see them just squeal on themselves? Is the attorney general, the top attorney for the state, he's a part and parcel of the legal society, he's a member, he's a card-carrying member, and he said that members of his society committed fraud, misrepresentation, unauthorized charges, and then y'all didn't get what he said when y'all read this because you're so emotional, and we don't read with understanding, and we don't remove the emotions when we read so we can really get all of the juice out of it. We don't chew our commercial food good enough. My mother was one that would chew food in her mouth until it looked like sand. And she would tell us all the time, y'all eat your food too fast. Y'all didn't even chew the food. Take your time and chew the food. Stop talking so much. Stop being in a hurry. Chew your food. My mother grinded her food up. Like, Ma, you still eating that piece of meat? We got to learn to grind and chew things. Read them a few times. The attorney general said, defendants get away with this extensive fraud by taking advantage of the inherent lack of oversight in the foreclosure process. Now, who is supposed to be watching them? It's not us. Well, yeah, it is us. But if we have a problem with them, who do we have to go to? Oh, we have to go to the Bar Association, who is self-governed, huh? It's a private association. So if we have a complaint about one of you, we got to go to you and determine that the complaint is good. Like, really? Seriously? So who is responsible for the oversight of the foreclosure process? Well, y'all don't have to think long. The answer is nobody up to this point. The mortgage servicers that hire the law firm on behalf of the loans investors rely upon the law firm to perform all the legal work. Now, when you see pleadings and whatnot, who do you think it comes from? The defendant, the debt collector, or the bank? Y'all know that doesn't happen. That's why the pleadings that's signed by who? The attorneys on behalf of the defendants. That's their words. They have to come up with the story and the defense and the angle and the strategy and every tactic on how they're going to do this. That's their words. That's why they can be held accountable for their words. There's case law out there to that effect. So, upon the law firm to perform all legal work in the foreclosure for an agreed-upon flat attorney fee and to pass through only its actual necessary and reasonable costs. Services do not conduct market analysis of these foreclosure rates. However, they rely upon the law firm to comply with the law and the investor guidelines by charging costs that are actual, reasonable, and the market rate. So here the services are saying that, look, we came to the people that know the law. We don't know the law. Do you think the bank know the law? Or the attorneys that made work for the bank know the law? Do you think the defendants actually call the attorneys and say, hey, look, you need to plead 1692 and you need to use a bona fide error, or you need to do you think the defendant bank tells them what to do? Or they, no, they rely upon an attorney to set forth and put forth the law, to present it, to proffer it. So who's really putting together the story? Defenders also get away with charging excessive, unauthorized, and unlawful costs because no homeowner, purchaser, or taxpayer can challenge the law firm's claim costs. Did you hear what he said? I'm going to read that again. Y'all cue that for a minute. Cue your food. Defendants also get away with charging excessive, unauthorized, and unlawful costs because no homeowner, purchaser, or taxpayer can challenge the law firm's claim costs. Why can you not challenge something that a law firm is claiming? Is this the attorney general saying that the judges are not doing their job or not allowing a homeowner to charge, to challenge a charge, the attorney says? Is this a confession that the legal society is not being governed or held accountable or are able to get away with murder and only 2 years later can we bring them to some consequence? What are you saying, Mr. Attorney General? You're saying that homeowners and taxpayers and purchasers are being oppressed and they have no challenge? Nor may the public trustees, which administer the foreclosure process or the courts which authorize the foreclosure, challenge these costs. So, oh, wow, the trustees have their hands tied too? And in some states we have to go through the trustee? So you're saying that the legal society are the bullies and what they say go, and there's no challenge to it. Is that what you're confessing to the people, to the consumers, is that you have no control and what they say go until you decide you want to pull them to the carpet about it? Yeah, for some of y'all, that's true. For some of y'all that don't know the law and don't know how to take action against a debt collector, which, by the way, in many cases is an attorney as well, you don't know what to do. You don't know when to challenge it. You don't know how to challenge it, which is why you need to be in this class and should have been in the class last weekend. Thus, a homeowner seeking to save his home from foreclosure or a person purchasing a property at an auction must pay whatever the cost the law firm's claims. If the property returns to the lender, the mortgage servicer assesses the cost to the investor or insurer, which are often borne by taxpayers. I don't know where that come in at. Where does the taxpayers get a bill? The law firm abuses this system, which it knows is devoid of administrative or judicial oversight. Did y'all just hear that? Chew that up. Confession. He's not only talking about the defendants, he's talking about the legal society as a whole, the judiciary as a whole. He's being honest. Now, would you say he's a bad guy? No, I say he's a good guy. I say he has morals and ethics. He just could have not said anything. By the way, the banks gave them billions of dollars. I'm sure it's the state of Colorado participated in settlement. I mean, they gave him billions. So he could have just said, oh, whatever. He didn't have to bring this case. I give him credit for letting the people know who he's amenable to, that there's little oversight, these guys get away with what they want, and they know that really is little oversight. So in other words, the same society that took an oath to protect you, the public at large, has found a way to oppress you because they know more than likely they're going to get away with it. That's what he said to me. This is sad, but it's real. It's something that I've been saying. I often wonder how our society, especially our legal society, views things in their own backyard. We are all subject to all of these rules and regulations and restraints and laws and codes and statutes and everything else we think apply to us. And we're forever being told what to do, how to do it, where to think, how to think, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it, when to do it. And often we're being told by the very people that is amendable to us, that took an oath to protect us, to be honest and fair, even if we didn't know certain things. Why? Because they get paid off of us. We don't get paid off of them. These foreclosures are obligation and instruments that we created. And they are stealing houses because of it. Because they went to learn about how to manipulate the law. They're not enforcing the law. You know, I used to live in Virginia Beach a while ago. And down there, you know, guys always had motorcycles and things, and they would like to form at empty parking lots and just get together and talk, and the girls would be there, you know, and just show off a little bit. Well, you know, the law enforcement didn't like that because they didn't want to create an atmosphere that may turn violent or people might start doing things. And sometimes there was fights or sometimes there was smoking or drinking, you know, not everybody, or things got out of hand. So they would always try to dismantle if they seen you in a parking lot, formulating or congregating with that many. They didn't like it, so they try to disperse and break that up because it might create a violent environment or it might create an atmosphere or people might, the word might get out that you can hang out in what they call loiter down there. But at some point, they let it got so big that it became a problem because the people just, it was so many people out there. And they got out of hand to where they couldn't control it. And some of the smart aleck kids started saying, well, this is private property. You can't really tell us to get off of it. All right? I asked my dad, and he said, this is private property. We're allowed to be over here. So the mayor had complained that the city just created an environment to where that hanging out and there were beer cans when they left and there was some a lot of, you know, paper and loitering and trash on there. So they say you created that environment. You let it materialize. What has the legal society done when the very people that took an oath to the people that are amenable to the people start using or abusing that power against the people? Isn't that what's going on fundamentally in this country? What kind of environment do you create where every time you look around, if you don't put your turn signal on, you're being hauled down to court under a criminal code? And the very people that you are told to get and hire and do all that is the same society that's sitting there and stealing your property, being allowed to do everything they want to do. You can't challenge it. He said that. You can't do anything about it. He kind of inferred that. And they've created an environment to where those employed in that environment just has a license to steal, cheat, lie. And in some cases, as we'll discuss on the next case, commit criminal actions in doing so. What kind of environment has been developed in a system that we're all amendable to? That at some point, again, if we happen to go 5 miles over the speed limit, we got to go before this environment and act like we just committed the worst crime in the damn world. Always feeling guilty for maybe taking a phone call while we're in the car. But we didn't hurt anybody. Or maybe smoking a cigarette somewhere where we're not supposed to, but we didn't hurt anybody. Or if you're in New York and Governor Mayor Bloomberg wants to say, I'm not selling any more 20-ounce sodas, you can only get a 16-ounce soda. Then now buying a 20-ounce Pepsi is a crime and against the laws of the state. This is what happens in our country. You know why? It's because of us. It's because of you. You allow it. You haven't taken these people to task for abusing and oppressing you. You trust everything that they say and everything that they do. You're always feeling guilty. You're always admitting to a debt. You're always acquiescing to something that you feel that you've done, and they never, ever apologize to you for what they've done. Sure, this attorney general is filed a law, so he should have got on TV and apologized for the oppression of these 275,000 homeowners that suffered this abuse. Where's the apology? The additional laws and rules, because Mayor Bloomberg said that he thought people was getting too much sugar from having 20-ounce drinks in the movie theaters. So he's so much concerned about you making up your own mind whether you want to drink 20 ounces that he said you can only sell 16 ounces, but you can buy two 16-ounce Pepsis. And he passed the law immediately because of that, but we have an attorney general that admits that we got an area where almost 300,000 people have been abused and oppressed and had their homes stolen, and you announce that you're suing them for money, but you're not coming up with any quick law to prevent this from happening again. What's wrong with us? How do we allow things to go this far? How do we allow private associations to just steal from us privately? And when we complain, we have to complain to them, and they have to determine whether it's bad enough. That's one case. Well, let's talk about another case in a rare event. And again, I'm just speaking in totality. There are some great attorneys out there. There's some great lawyers. There's some great judges. By all means, I've met a lot of them, a good abundance of them. And I never go into any environment thinking that everybody's crooked, everybody's corrupt, and the world's going to drop, and the food is poisoning, and they're trying to kill us, and they're trying to create tombs for us, and they got already coffins for us. I don't do that spookism stuff. No differently did I believe the government when they say everybody's Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda and everybody's terrorists and the invisible boogeyman that we never see, and that we should drop our pants and our panties and our drawers at the airport so we can make sure we're not carrying a bomb. I don't believe in that crap either. At some point when I was growing up, I watched horror movies that made me think there was a boogeyman under my bed or in the closet. I got tired of that after several years and decided when I walk in the room that I was going to look under the bed and in the closet. And if I didn't see the boogeyman, I was going to go to bed and go to sleep and realize that the boogeyman didn't come in because I didn't hear the door open. At some point, you're going to have to show me the damn boogeyman. We're starting to see who the boogeyman is. There was a lawyer in Atlanta, Georgia, who probably ran into a good judge that doesn't like any nonsense. Or if there's nonsense, he want to know that he's participating in nonsense if he desires to. And there's some of them that do that. And he was indicted. Yes, the word indicted. For making false statements, presenting forged documents. I mean, the Colorado Attorney General had 275,000 cases, not documents. 75,000 cases that might have had several hundred documents in it that were all false and forged. But he didn't decide to proceed in that way. And I don't think that's the way anyway. For some cases, I think you should be a criminal charge. If you just absolutely violate every rule in the world. But if it comes from head to head, the Thor hammer to your hand, I win every time. Because I know the rules. But if you get stupid on me and you start really just going over the line, then yeah, you should be put in jail. Just keep it fair. I'm an educated consumer. I'm okay. I'm not going to cry victim. Look, I don't want them to go to jail. I don't want the banks to shut down. I don't want them to close. The banks afford a good opportunity for me and for you as well when you learn the rules. The attorneys provide most of those opportunities. Why? Because the banks don't know the law. The attorneys do. So who really provides the opportunities are the attorneys. Don't lock them up. Just give me a fair trial. Give me a fair opportunity. Give me a fair judge, and I'm going to win every single time, hands down. It's not even an interesting fight, ask Brother Amen. Ask Brother Maynard. Ask several others. It's not even a real fight when you really know what you're doing. It's fun. So this attorney, a Cobb County jury, indicted the attorney, James Allen Langlace. And if you're in Georgia and you might have dealt with that attorney, you probably need to look at your paperwork and see if you have a private right of action. And you need to probably sue him before he goes to jail, if he does. Indicted him on 3 counts of false statements, 2 counts of false writings, 2 counts of forgery, and 1 count of theft by deception. The theft charges for taking money from clients for legal services he didn't perform. Again, a culture of the environment. When do the very public official that took an oath to protect the people and the public, who lives off the people and the public, the consumer, ever gets the idea to take money from you and absolutely not perform what they're taking money from you for? When? There are homeowners in the state of Ohio, not homeowners, people in the state of Ohio that was going to court for family court issues, traffic ticket issues, civil issues. And I think I discussed that 5 shows ago. And court fees and court costs and fines and all of that, they couldn't pay it. And the court was locking them up for contempt for court fees and costs. Okay? So you can't steal from a court, even if you had to go there and you didn't want to go there or be there. They're going to charge you court costs and fines, and if you don't pay it, they're subject to throw your butt in jail. So you're not able to steal from them, but they can steal from you. They can go and take your money, say, yeah, I'm going to go and do 5 jumping jacks, and they don't do any. They don't even try. They don't even do any of them. So he was arrested for taking money from clients for legal services he didn't perform. And the article reads that Atlanta lawyer has been indicted for making false statements and presenting forged documents to a Cobb County judge. A Cobb County grand jury has indicted James Allen Langlace on 3 counts of false statements, 2 counts of false writing, 2 counts of forgery, and 1 count of theft by deception. The theft charges for taking money from clients for legal services he allegedly didn't perform. The other counts are based on 2 appearances before Cobb County Superior Court Judge Leighton Kell in January and February of this year. Lane couldn't be reached, so the indictment paid to paint a picture of a lawyer who allegedly missed a deadline for filing a response to a motion for summary judgment in a lawsuit. This is just him doing what they all do and litigating. So he missed the deadline for filing a response to a motion for summary judgment in a lawsuit, but told the judge that he had filed it. So the judge just say, did you file that response to the motion for summary judgment? Yeah, judge, I filed it. That's all simple. And he said he filed it, and he even had a stamped copy and receipts from the courier who delivered it. And then I just demonstrate to you on the other lawsuit with the Colorado Attorney General where they sued the process company too, right? Do y'all remember the case in New York where there was 100,000 defendants in a class action of a scam that the attorneys were doing where they were serving people on some sewer case? And the process servers were in with the attorneys by just throwing the complaints, sometimes serving them to old addresses, throwing it in the yard, not serving them at all, and they were sued as well. Okay? Again, what is this culture? And what kind of environment is this when the very people that are amenable to us just feel that they can do this? Again, you can't get a 20-ounce soda in New York because Mayor Bloomberg doesn't want you to. But an attorney can steal your money, lie, not have any judicial oversight. You can't challenge them. And there's no emergency law or there's no Senate bill or there's no executive order or nothing. Huh? So Then the indictment alleges he went back to court later and presented the document with a forged stamp from the clerk's office as well as a fake invoice from a courier. So he went and got, now you want to talk about stamps, we'll talk about Brother Amen with these endorsements on these notes. So this man was able to, in his environment, in the court, get a copy of a stamp that looks like the clerk's stamp, stamp it on his document, although the clerk didn't file it, and he had a courier, he fabricated some courier saying, I delivered it to the court. And it's alleged that that wasn't the case at all, but the stamp, the clerk's stamp was forged. Now, if he would forge a stamp from a clerk from the court that he works in, okay? Because as a Bar Association member, he is an officer of the court. Okay? The courier stamp, well, that's not surprising. They always do that. But the clerk stamp? The indictment also allegedly stole from his clients, Greg and Kimberly Houston, by taking their money for legal services he falsely claimed to have performed for them in their lawsuit, Houston versus Pierce. The indictment says the amount was greater than $1,500. All right. Now, I'm going to say this. Thor always teaches morality and character and principle, and we always say that. What we teach you is not about revenge and retaliation, but it's just about you becoming more aware of your obligation and the obligations of others. We don't talk bad about, we just promote the truth. There are some bad homeowners, there's some bad people, there's bad judges, there's bad lawyers, there's bad law enforcement, there's bad individuals, there's bad everything. We're human, sometimes we make mistakes, sometimes we do it out of emotion, sometimes we do it for straight fraudulent reasons. My opinion is this, the reason why you have a society that's responsible for enforcing and protecting the law for the people, in and for the people, in my opinion, in this debt collection and foreclosure crisis, the reason why you have these type of revelations, and this is just a tad bit of it, is because any person with common sense or have studied the law like I did, like Layla does now, like Lori does, like Rudy does, like everybody else, and even some of the gurus out there, they're not wrong about everything. But whenever you create a culture and you see other people oppressed and you see how you can oppress people the same way and get away with it, what do you think is going to happen? Whenever you have a society to where if you have a problem with somebody that's licensed in that society that you can only go complain to that society and get something done about it, what the hell do you think is going to happen? But I really feel that these type of individuals and others, the reason why it is like this and is like this far more than you will ever know, is because they see for themselves and they may have a broader knowledge of law than you that everything that's going on about this debt collection and foreclosure crisis is absolute BS. And it's a fraud being committed on this entire country, and they're looking at it like, if you are stealing people's house with this garbage, I might as well get a piece of it. I'm not going to do as many as you do, but let me get a little bit here and there because my surroundings and my environment think but or a great deal of lies, greed, deception, and corruption. What else are you think you're going to breed? I don't care how honest you are. We hear a lot of politicians, they run and they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. When I get in the White House, I'm going to do that. And if you vote me in the state representative, I'm going to clean up this. And I'm going to have transparency and I'm going to have all this. And then they get in there and see that the overwhelming amount of the people in there is absolutely on this track. What track do you think they're going to get on? If 30 people are doing this over here and only 3 people is like, I'm going to have the moral effort not to do it, after a while, are you going to watch them driving their Bentleys and living on the beach? And the culture is, we're not harming anybody. We're not doing anything. After a while, are you going to say, what are you going to say? You're going to go to some of the state functions and some of the black and white affairs and the bow ties, and they're pulling up in their Rolls Royce, and your wife is pulling up in a Volkswagen Beetle, and you're going to say, and she's going to say, Well, honey, y'all work at the same place, don't you? Didn't y'all go to the same law school? Don't y'all use the same books? Is there different laws? Is there a minority law and a poverty law or a lower standard, low-income law? Or is the law the same for everybody? Well, honey, the law is the same. Then why the hell are you not driving a Rolls Royce and we're driving a damn Volkswagen and you work with these people? You need to do what you need to do. You need to forget about the morals and the values of the people and the consumers don't want to read. Get paid. And then do some charity to make yourself feel better. Do some classes and teach them a little bit, but not enough. Thor is not funded by any governmental subsidy, by the way. We're not supported by any legal society or any administrative agency. We do it based on the value of our heart. That's two of the lawsuits against members of the League Society, and there's many others. A couple other articles we'll discuss is I want to discuss for you, we had a very interesting show on Tuesday, and for those of you that didn't listen to it, you really need to. I think every show that we do are good, but I think some are exclusive shows where we provide some very credible and very substantial information on how the consumer protection law stretches into areas that we didn't know. And we discussed a case that a very brilliant and smart attorney did against Aaron's Furniture for certain disclosures that are required when an employee relies upon your consumer protection report and background information, of which some of that information is obtained from the consumer credit report. We've explained to you that Experian and TransUnion and Equifax not only holds consumer transactional information, but they also hold a lot of other information. If you go back to our show on the history of Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, you know that in the 1800s when Equifax was formed and TransUnion, they were a hub of information of all types, who you dated, what your religious beliefs was. They were like the reality TV. Like, they had everything. Like, when if you were a politician, you was running against a guy, you probably went to Equifax and said, give me everything you got on that guy. Oh, yeah, we got some documentation. We got some emails. We got some people. We got this divorce record that says his wife said he was a drug user and he was schizophrenic. And I mean, that's what they use. That's what Equifax kind of information they had. And also credit information, background information, criminal information, civil information, and everything else. That's what they have. They still have it today, which is why when most of you go to an employer, you agree to release, authorize them to release that information and background information, and you don't know where it comes from. And the law says you're supposed to. And you're supposed to know what they're relying upon and what information in those reports they're relying upon to make that decision. So if applicable, you can challenge certain information that being erroneous, or in most cases, you don't even know it could exist because you didn't know Equifax, TransUnion, Experian had that kind of information, did you? So you think it's not, again, them putting the blindfolders over the public at large by saying they don't need to know about that? Don't tell them. So Aaron's is suffering the consequence of what? Keeping the consumer blind. And I'm going to just call him Pookie because Antoine seemed like he might be either a melanated individual or an individual. It doesn't matter. But I'm saying Pookie just to let you know that he's not an educated guy by any standard, probably. Or he's not somebody that's highly educated. And he might have been declined for employment and decided to go see an EEOC lawyer. And they say, well, we need 10 grand, man. Oh, it takes about a year for us to even look at that. And we'll get back to you and let you know whether you have a claim. Huh? So somehow you stumbled up on this attorney. And that attorney said, what? They did what? Now they pulled your credit. And they didn't give you a copy. And they didn't give you a chance to challenge that information before they made the decision. Now, how many of you knew that the consumer protection laws, your commercial Bibles, have that much power within it that if those employers are using any information from a consumer report, there are certain disclosures they must present to you? Okay? I want to show you how many of you, and I think some of you are confused, and I want, and I think you may be confused legitimately, because I didn't add certain parts to your questions or maybe your information. When I talk about the statute of limitations, and I mentioned this in the class, I think I've said that it is 2 years, and it is in most cases. In some cases, not, I can't say most cases. But I kind of let everybody know, and I was called, and I was just like, well, Brother Sharif, you might want to go ahead and clear that up, because most people think it's just 2 years. So let me share with you that it's 2 years. In many cases, it could be up to 5 years in many cases. And for most of you, you can justify both. Let's talk about the FCRA, which is what we'll be discussing last weekend and this weekend, which is 15 U.S.C. 1681P. Pull it up if you have your computer in front of you or if you have your phone. And I'm going to discuss with you how you may be entitled to 5 years statute of limitation to bring any claims or causes of action under that consumer protection law. All right? So, everybody should know that the FCRA was amended in 2003. I think I discussed that. It was amended. All right? And some of the amendments were what we're going to discuss now, 1681P. And that changed the statute of limitations provision. All right? Before that amendment, 1681P stated that a claim for an FCRA violation had to be brought within 2 years from the date on which the liability arises. It's before the amendment. This is all the way leading up to 2003. Unless the defendant had knowingly or willfully failed to disclose something it should have disclosed, in which case the claim should be brought within 2 years of the discovery of the misrepresentation. Did y'all understand that? 2 years. Within 2 years of the discovery. Now, y'all know what discovery is. Some of you have never even thought about your credit report till you came to Thor. So some of you may have had violations in there. You never discovered it. You never knew what to read. You never knew where to look. You never knew how to read it. You never knew what it understood. You never knew the law. You never knew anything. You were just a consumer that was signing everything and paying everything based on somebody telling you. And some of the people that might have told you might be some of the people right now that's under fire for certain deceptive information. Or, wait a minute, what they call legal advice. So, you know, if you listen to most people out there, the only person that is allowed to give you legal advice is alleged to be a licensed attorney. Now, I'm not a smart guy, all right? And I'm a mediocre guy. The only person that can give me legal advice is a licensed attorney, and I'm seeing lawsuits where this attorney general and many others are claiming that they're lying, cheating, stealing, committing torts, criminal acts on a vast scale to the tune of $300,000. Just one law firm is responsible for $300,000. Are you sure that I have to get legal advice from just one of those licensed people? I don't know. I'm just talking. My third eye always to me, and I kind of always kind of eat my food real good. So I kind of wonder, so you're saying I have to go to somebody or an environment or society that is known to lie. And we're going to speak about lies and deception. I'm going to talk to y'all about a couple of scheduling orders where this is just really common for deceit in this arena, which is why I say you got to learn the law for yourself, people. You got to know it for yourself. I'm not saying everybody's a lie and a cheat, but I'm saying if anybody has the opportunity to lie and cheat, then you're going to always be a victim because you don't know who's doing it unless you really know the law that prevents them from doing it. Let's get back. After the amendment, 2003, 1681P states a claim for an FCRA violation must be brought either, one, within 2 years of the plaintiff's discovery of the violation. That means when you discover it, that means you can pull up your credit report every damn day, and if you don't know what you're looking for, it's not a discovery unless you know that it's a violation. Maybe you came on the show today and you realized something that you've been looking at for a year has really been a violation. But it happened 2 years prior to that. Then you can be like, well, from the time I discovered it, which was today on Thor's show, that's when my statute of limitations starts, upon discovery. There are other laws, Tilla, and other laws, if you play around in that mortgagee-mortgager relationship, that uses the language upon discovery, and that means what it means. When you discover it, not when you had it, not when you seen it. If I got a letter from a debt collector 2 years ago, like Layla said, I just pulled up an old letter, and I determined that that was a violation of the FDCRA, and I just discovered it today. My statute of limitations starts today, not from the date of that letter. Go figure. It must be brought, one, within 2 years of the plaintiff's discovery of the violation, or B, listen carefully, within 5 years of the date of the violation, whichever is earlier. Y'all go read it for yourself. And I always tell you, don't depend on anything I say, although I don't drink, smoke, get high, or anything like that. Sometimes I don't read well, and I'm being sarcastic. So it's either within 2 years when you discovered it, and understand that you should be smart enough to only discover things when you discover things, and within 5 years of the date of the violation. So it's not 2 years. So you got a letter from 2011, right? Say it's sitting in Layla's pile of documents that she goes, they should say, wait a minute, like our brother Amin did when we absolutely pulled the hammer out the briefcase again on his debt collectors. And they said, we the creditor, read the creditor, read the creditor. And we just set those traps and we walked along. Okay, you the creditor, well, how much I owe you? All right, so, you know, what's the interest rate? And, you know, we get them to talking and walking and talking. You know, some of the gurus out there tell you, don't go to court, you ain't supposed to be there. Yeah, that's not a place for you, and everything's corrupt. You know, we love. Ask Brother Amin, Brother Maynard. We love that arena. When the right people are doing their job, it is great. So we walk and talk with them. We ask them a bunch of questions. We file a bunch of stuff. We talk about a bunch of things. We send them a bunch of letters. We get them talking. Yeah, you owe us. You know that mortgage that you got. You know that deed. You know, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, you talking about that. Oh, is that what you're talking about? No, we didn't say we owed anything, right? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Well, how much do you say I owe you? And when can I pay you? And how can I pay you? You know, you just start asking real friendly questions, and they get to slobbing and salivating, and they be like, yeah, you're going to pay us. Yeah, he ain't denying the debt. I just don't recall a debt. Oh, these documents right here. Oh, those. Yeah, those are the ones. Oh, that's a copy. Do you have the original? Oh, yeah, we got the original. Oh, can I come look at it? Just walking along, talking along, setting traps, getting them to talk. And then we go into our pile of letters that we've had throughout the years. And we pull out one letter dated 2011, where it says, we're the servicer, and Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae owns the loan. They're like, now, wait a minute, sir. Can you state before the court again that you said you stipulate in front of this court that you are the creditor, right, and you're the party to be paid, and there's no other party that makes any claims to this alleged debt, correct? Yeah, we're the creditor, sir. We're the creditor. You owe us the money. We bought the loan. We paid for the loan. Now, did you pay for the loan, or did you pay for the note? No, we paid for the loan. Oh, okay. What's the difference in the loan and the note? Is there a difference? How can you pay for the loan and not pay for the note? What's the loan worth? Is there two different instruments that have equivalent value? So does the loan have an amount and the note have an amount? Well, no, that the loan means the note. Oh, the loan doesn't mean the note. Can you explain to me? Again, we go in Columbo on them, right?
can you just explain to me what the difference is? Right? Okay, so what you're saying before the court, sir, is that we owe you $190,000, and you're the creditor, and you bought either the loan or the note, we don't know it. Yeah. Okay, great. Sir, I want to introduce to you a notice that we received from the previous alleged creditor in 2011, and that letter said that they were just a servicer, and Freddie Mac owned the loan. Oops. Well, can we see that letter? Sure. Here's a copy. Bellis, can you pass that to them? Now, sir, that's from Bank of America. So for months and in hundreds of documents that you pleaded and letters that you sent, you owe what we asked you the question, were you the only creditor or the only party claiming an interest in this loan, mortgage, note, or whatever you want to call it? And they said in the affirmative, yes. Well, explain to me this letter, and if you bought this loan from Bank of America, who said that they were only a servicer and they were working for Freddie Mac, I'm looking over hundreds of documents and months and months and months of litigation, and you never mentioned Freddie Mac. Do y'all understand how that goes? That 2011 letter that I didn't pay attention to, that I just discovered now, 1681P, I can now take that if they reported that debt to the credit bureau, and I have a cause of action. That's why I'm using that example. So within 5 years of the date of the violation, whichever is early, so you have up to 5 years from the time you revealed it, 2011, I'm still within my statute of limitations. Or if I discovered it today, I still have until 2016 of July to bring that action. You have plenty of time. Many of you are talking about going back in your credit report. If you have things that you just now discovered, you have up to 5 years from the date of the violation. Okay? 2 years after your discovery. So in other words, any letters you have that you may have just now discovered from 2009 of July, there's a possibility you can bring in action right now. Did I give y'all another yellow brick money road to walk down? Did we not give you Thor's version of the Wizard of Oz that you can now do a Wizard of Oz part two and go in your bureau and see how many people obtained your credit report? How many people reported debts that may have removed it, but it was already there? Huh? You're welcome. A gift from Thor, because I don't think many of you understand it. I'm going to read to you a case that supports that, and we always try to give you something to go read. And that case is Andrews versus Equifax Info Services, LLC. Andrews, A-N-D-E-U-S. It is from Washington, 2010. The case site is 700F, Supplement 2D, 1276. The plaintiff, the consumer, Andrews sued Equifax for mixing another person's credit information with their own and printing both sets of information in a credit report about her. Her claims were failure to use reasonable procedures, okay, and 1681EB, y'all need to write that down. Although those of you that will be in the class, you don't need to. 1681EB and failure to reinvestigate, which is something y'all should be familiar with, those that was at the class, 1681I. Evidence, including her deposition, listen closely, showed that the plaintiff called Equifax with credit report disputes in September of 2004. This is 2010, all right, and 2005, and that Equifax conducted reinvestigations and sent her three new credit reports, which is what they do. Whenever you dispute something, they'll send you a new credit report with whatever adjustments that they've made. All right? Equifax moved for summary judgment and argued that these events demonstrated that the plaintiff had discovered, is what they were saying. okay? What they were saying that she was time barred because she wasn't within the 2 years that she discovered it because she had disputed things before and they sent her 3 new credit bureaus. So she should have known it then. So they said she discovered it is the word they use. So she must have had a very sharp attorney. And they said that she was time barred under the 2 year statute of limitations. So she had a smart attorney. An attorney came back and he argued and the court said they denied Equifax's motion for summary judgment. And listen why the court denied it. And I want y'all to understand why I'm saying this. The court found that none of the events of late 2005 and 2006 clearly indicated that the plaintiff knew. How do they ever know what you know? That Equifax had violated the FTC, the FCRA at that point. So when she got the credit reports in 2005 and 2006, and she filed the case in 2008, they're saying that you've had 3 credit bureaus from us. We did a whole bunch of reinvestigations, and since you do credit reports, you discovered this, and you didn't take an action, all right? And you should have, but you didn't, and the statute of limitation to bring those claims is 2 years under 1681B, and you're out of luck. The court denied it and said that she knew, they're saying she knew her credit report contained inaccuracy and that she then denied credit. All right? This is what she said in the deposition. But she says she didn't necessarily know, so the court found that these issues were due to Equifax's alleged failure to use reasonable procedures or to reinvestigate. So although she may have knew something, she didn't know that those were violations, and then she didn't know that those violations caused her damages in other areas. So she filed suit, and there were things that she didn't know. Back then, when she hadn't sued back then, when she just had received her credit bureaus from the disputes that she had. All right? The court also noted that there was no clear evidence, y'all listen to this part, that the plaintiff received the revised report that Equifax sent her. Do y'all understand what the court just said? Well, we sent her 3 new credit reports. We sent it to her in the mail. She should have known. And the court said there was no clear evidence that the plaintiff received the revised report. And let me tell you why they say it. Because the plaintiff testified, the consumer, at her deposition that she didn't remember. She didn't say she didn't know. She didn't say she will. She said she didn't remember if she ever received the 3 credit reports. And Equifax could only show, again, the facts. What can you demonstrate? What can you show by a preponderance of the evidence? They said Equifax could only show that it sent them. That's all they did. Said, yes, we mailed them. I mean, we dropped it in the mailbox. I don't know. I told y'all that there was a mailman in my neighborhood that the Postmaster General had to get involved and investigate because there was a bag of mail found in the woods. It sounds like that postman just said, I'm not doing it today. And he threw all the mail in the yard. You think some people didn't get their mail? So the court said you could only prove that. Oh, not even prove, you could only show, there's a difference in show and prove, that they sent them, not that they were delivered to her, because it used regular mail, not certified mail. How many times have I discussed proof when I tell you to issue your notices you're doing by FedEx Online or you're doing by certified or registered mail? How many times have I said that? Why? Because you need proof. Now, how many times have you received any notice from a debt collector, certified mail, registered mail, or FedEx? Absolutely not one time. Meaning, if you do that notice of dispute, they're going to always say, yeah, well, we mail back. Yeah, where is it? Well, we sent it. And they'll have somebody come and say, did you mail this? Yep, I mailed it, but there's no proof that we received it. And just because you're too cheap to spend the $5 or $6 to make sure that you can prove, because the reason why you don't send a certified mail or registered mail because 90% of the people just don't know what they're doing anyway. They don't know what power they have. So why add the additional cost? We want to keep this thing as close to a nickel invested as possible. We didn't send a certified or registered mail. Come on, court.
It would cost us a lot of money if every time somebody disputed something, we got to send it by certified or registered mail. Well, we're just not going to do that. You heard Experian say in the last case that I read to you where the consumer got $18.2 million, they said, we're just not going to do anything different, and we'll just write that $18 million check because we're not going to change the system. That's what they said. Woo, did they get my nose tingling on that one. I'm going to find me an $18 million case, I promise you. I think I already have one. So, because most consumer recording agencies and credit furnishers send consumers form letters, not personalized records of disputes or credit denials, and because they send these form letters via regular mail, not certified mail, the Andrews decision suggests that it will be somewhere between difficult and impossible for a defendant agency or furnisher to show that a typical consumer ever discovered an FCRA violation. It can't get any better than that. It can't get any better than this office. Right? So let's just play word ping pong and say, you probably have up to 5 years. Because I promise you now, even with this decision, and this decision was from 2011, they're still not using certified mail. So if you want to say you hate the credit bureaus and the banks and everything, the debt collectors, you're absolutely a fool, because they are always affording you an opportunity to make money if you have the knowledge. It is too easy for the plaintiff to create a dispute of fact about the discovery date by giving vague testimony about whether he or she ever received certain documents under the system. This is why I say I don't recall. Well, you had a debt with, I don't recall having a debt with Discover. I don't recall. Recall doesn't mean I don't remember. I don't recall. Recall is a very powerful legal word. I don't recall. Well, did you ever shop at Walmart? I don't know. I don't recall. Were you ever there on Tuesday? I don't know. You have any cameras, have any videotape, or you got a witness to say that I was there? Maybe that might jog my memory, but other than you just saying it, I don't know what you're saying. Many times y'all are deceptive. I can't rely upon even the questions that you ask. I don't recall. Give me something to prick my conscience, and then maybe I may recall. Right? Y'all got 5 years. 5 years y'all got. All right? All right. Let's talk about one other case, and then let's open up the lines. You can call in 657-383-0332, press star 1 or 1, 657-383-0332. We have about 17 minutes left in the live stream, and then we're going to go to the last hour. Boy, this time goes fast. And boy, the board lit up. Let's talk about privacy for 1 minute, and I want to talk about a case. And I want everybody to understand how significant privacy, or significantly your privacy, is being taken. And how this computer society and electronic society, it should be something that concerns you. Why? Because it's privacy. This is why we have stolen identities. This is why we have Target saying that they released 2.4 million, 3 million people's information, name, social security number, date of birth. The phone company saying, oh, we lost all your text messages and the little nice little selfies that you sent to everybody. And the NSA saying they're collecting everything. And police departments talking about they got cameras on the street. They're watching you come in and out the store. And Walmart is recording all your transactions, and, I mean, you have to understand what's going on. Some of the Patriots saying that your license plates have chips in it that can place you anywhere that plate is affixed to that vehicle, and that's everywhere if you participate in those laws, and most of us do. So, credit to Brother Cody, sent me this article about millions of Americans installing Perfect Spine device. And years ago I heard about cable boxes that had microphones and video cameras in it, and I know that to be a fact. I've seen it. I asked, happened to get a well-knowledge cable guy, and he kind of looked at me like, how do you know that stuff? Like, yeah. There are certain type spying devices that are on phones and cell phones. Please do not think they're not. There are certain phones out there, and I won't say the name Apple, Orange, or Pear, but you can't take the battery out of them. You can never power them off. And then there's certain phones out there, Samsung, I mean, you know, sing a song, that even if you turn them off, there's a second little battery that keeps it powered. Y'all need to look into those things. Okay? But I'm going to read to you this article, millions of Americans install imperfect spying device. Amazon Fire TV monitors records your conversation. Amazon is building the CIA's new $600 million data center, reports from Financial Times. At the same time, Amazon.com is building this massive cloud computing infrastructure for the CIA. The company is also shipping millions of Fire TV set-top devices to customers who are placing them in their private homes. I have one myself, and it's a terrific piece of hardware for delivering prime video content. In fact, in terms of its usability and specs, it's far superior to Roku or Netflix-capable devices. Fire TV is hands down the best set-top video delivery device on the market today. This is Amazon that's selling these devices. But there's something about it that always struck me as odd. It has no power button. There's no power button on the remote, and there's no power button on the box. It turns out there's no way to power the device off except for unplugging it. This is highly unusual and apparently done by design. I want y'all to listen carefully to... You don't learn anything else at Thor. You listen to words, how they are used, how they are not used, what is said and what is not said. And if you don't understand that language of silence or language of ambiguity, you're going to have a very difficult life. And if you don't ask questions, your life is going to be even that more difficult. Now, it is not necessary to turn off Amazon Fire TV when you are finished using it, says the Amazon.com website. Sort of like when the news tell you that everything is fine and the economy is doing great. You know, that kind of stuff. Kind of like when Microsoft tells you that, you know, you should be shopping on, Microsoft. Or I mean Mitt Romney, no, I mean Clear Channel. Amazon says the Fire TV is designed to go into sleep mode after 30 minutes while continuing to automatically receive important software updates. Sounds like your computer and some of the other programs that you have. Now, for those of you I just said that to, you would say, oh, it cuts off by itself. That's what probably 8 out of 10 of you would say if I read that. It says, oh, it's designed to cut off. Go into sleep mode after 30 minutes, and you read that on the box, you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. I don't have to power it on and off. Cool beans. Note carefully that this does not say that your Fire TV device will go into sleep mode after 30 minutes, and it didn't say that. It said what it said. It's designed. Well, we designed a legal system that's supposed to be perfect and fair, and it's dissemination of justice. But, you know, we got people from within saying that really not quite that way. We kind of design laws to keep everybody honest, but for some reason, that design has many flaws in it. So just because they said it's designed doesn't mean it will go into sleep mode. As lawyers well know, this is a huge difference. Well, who you think wrote that disclaimer on there? Every corporation has a lawyer, does it not? So, everybody's going to buy those TVs and say it's designed to go off. You don't need a power button. We did it for your convenience because we need to do some updates and we need to do what we need to do without bothering you. Okay? So, You order these devices, and you might not be convinced there's anything to write home about, but there's much more to this story. What we know so far is that Amazon.com is building the CIA's new cloud computing data center. And we also know the company's fire devices have no way to be turned off and are being placed in the living room of private homes. What starts to make this real interesting is when you realize these devices are linked to your identity before they ship to you. Huh? Well, how is that? Well, when I call and make the order to Amazon, I give them my name, credit card information, and where to ship it to. They have the device already, and they go ahead and load it up. And when they send it to you and you power it on, it already has your name on it. It already has who it went to. It has your debit card information. Your debit card has your Social Security number, everything else too. So they know that that device is going to that person, and that person is using it in their home. So what's up? The Fire device listens to your voice and uploads audio to Amazon servers. So when you use the device, you use your voice to work it. And it's recording your voice and everything that you say. And do you not think it may be capable of recording when you're not talking to the device? Or may not be able to discern if you're talking to the device or not. And it's just recording everything so they don't miss an order for a movie that you might have made. So your voice information is getting loaded up to their computer. And you agree to it. I tell y'all, some of these programs that you order for your phone and your TVs, and if you would just read some of the disclaimers, user agreements, y'all would really be surprised what you're signing up for. You cannot walk into a court against these people, and the first thing they're going to say is, did you read the user agreement? We told you that we can take some of your naked pictures that you may have or some pictures of your kids or some selfies. We can go in there and we can look around your phone if we want to. We're going to have access to your contacts. When you open up a Google address, they tell you. They're going to need access to certain parts of your computer and your phone, your contact information, your text messages, your pictures, your who you're Googling, what you're Googling, who you're talking to, what you're downloading. Y'all really just open up your life when you get a lot of these 99-cent programs or free. Why do you think they're free? We're in an information age, collection age. The new thing is not debt collection. Well, it is new debt collection, but it's information collection. And they're going to always be able to say, did you not click yes on the user agreement? Yes, okay. Your case is dismissed. You agree for us to be able to snoop around and listen to your butt. Whether you're in your sleep, whether you and your wife is in your room, your girlfriend, whether you have an argument with your dog, whatever you're doing, I better be careful about your information and what you're giving and what you're authorizing, and also be knowledgeable of the law. Right? Just wanted to share that article with you. When you're using Google Voice, you have to understand that that's Google's information. Once you're speaking to that, and that Google Voice is lined up to your telephone number, so they have the telephone number, and they got your voice recognition, and they can store that in the computer. You say anything in the world, you might walk in Walmart and say something. They'd be like, hey, Bob, how are you? I'm like, how did you know I was in here? Oh, yeah, we subscribed to Google, and Google had your voice from when you had that phone, and we knew you were in here, and chances are that's you. Yeah, that's where we're going, people. That's where we're going. Make no doubt about it. All right. That's all I have. Let's see. Well, let me make sure. Make sure there's no other news. Let me look at my little cheat sheet here. There's a case going on by the big boys. I mean the big boys. The big people. Let me see if I can find that case here. PIMCO and BlackRock, some of the biggest bondholders. Hey, here it is. $250 billion case lawsuit by the big boys. I mean, what I call them is fat wallet people. Fat wallet people are debt collectors, banks. That's what I call them. And I always tell people, go out to the fat wallet, not the little wallet. Services, a little wallet. The big wallet is going to pay for the services. Go after the big wallets. So some fat wallet people went after the banks. BlackRock PIMCO, P-I-M-C-O. Right? For years, homeowners have been battling Wall Street in an attempt to recover some portion of their massive losses from the housing Ponzi scheme. But progress has been slow, as they have been outgunned and outspent by the banking titans. However, the article says, the banks may have met their match, as some equally powerful titans strode onto the stage, investors led by BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, and PIMCO, the world's largest bond fund manager. As we know in society and commerce, everything is bonded, okay? Everything you do is insurance. Insurance, 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 bond, 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 right? Have sued some of the world's largest banks for breach of fiduciary duty as trustees of their investment funds. The investors are seeking damages for losses surpassing $250 billion. That is the equivalent of 1 million homeowners with $250,000 in damages suing at one time. The defendants are the so-called trust banks that oversee payments and enforce terms of the more than $2 trillion in residential mortgage securities. So this pertains to the secondary market, securitization. They include units of Deutsche Bank, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, Citigroup, HSBC, who was funded by the Mexican drug cartel. Y'all need to look that up. And the Bank of New York Mellon. My favorite guys. The Bank of New York Mellon. Some of you have those guys. All right? So that's a big case that the bank is not going to be able to go print some money and money you. They're not going to be able to hire the $1,000 an hour attorneys because PIMCO and BlackRock got some attorneys that are $1,000 too. This is going to be a war. All right? They're coming after them for all those securitization stuff, you know, the government, the CFPB. I mean, you name it. Everybody's getting a piece of the action. Where's your piece? I think one other case, I think the CFPB went after somebody lately. I think they hit somebody else in the head. Oh, yeah, they hit the Frederick J. Hanna and Associates law firm down there in Georgia. Again, these guys started off eating at the diner. They over here on yachts. And the word got around, what's Charlie and Frederick and them doing down there at Hanna? A lot of money now. Oh, they're doing that foreclosure firm. Oh, let's check them out. Make sure see what they're doing. Because you know why? They know what I know. You can't collect a debt as a debt collector and not violate some provision of the law. Well, why do you think they're on this trail? I'm not saying that they listened to a Thor episode, but I'm not saying they didn't. They know that they can watch any one of these foreclosure bills and find some violations. Why it's too tempting not to add a dollar to your credit card account. As you can see, Bank of America, Discover, American Express, all of them do. They always get sued. You added $2 to everybody's account. You had 2 million accounts. You know how much money that is a month? Comcast, they added a dollar to everybody's bill. I promise you, you won't miss a dollar. Or even $5. So if they got 5 million accounts and they just add a little $5 to every account, how much money is that a month? An extra $25 million. And how long will they get away with that? For a long time. All right. We have 90 seconds. You need to call in 657-383-0332 to continue the conversation. Those of you in the chat, you need to call in 657-383-0332. And I'm about done. I'll just talk a little bit about the Frederick Hanna case in Georgia. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau went after them. And says they again, this firm, not a one-man, two-man show, relies on deception and faulty evidence to drag consumers to court and collect millions. We believe that they're taking advantage of consumers. They didn't say homeowners. They didn't say borrowers. They said consumers. Didn't they? They gave you the keyword.
They said, we believe they are taking advantage of consumers' lack of legal expertise. Did you hear them call y'all ignorant of the law? I mean, that's what they said. Let's just be honest. They said, y'all are ignorant. And they said, you're taking advantage of the consumer's lack of legal expertise to intimidate him into paying debts that they may not even owe. I didn't say that. That's what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said. How many times have we said, you may not even owe that debt? So they said the law firm, Mr. Hanna and them, that grew up on the farm, but now that they got a suite in Trump Towers, and they're giving away steak at their little black and white affairs, I wonder how they do that in the same field I'm in. Oh, you're in a debt collection. Oh, yeah, we're going to check you out. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau probably received some complaints. And they're saying that, look, the Colorado Attorney General said, y'all just stealing. You understand? Because nobody's watching, and you can't be challenged, which is just ridiculous. And now the CFPB is saying, they're intimidating. Do you understand? They use the word intimidate due to your lack of legal expertise. They intimidate them into paying debts they may not even owe. Not that they're inflating some fees on top of what you might owe. They're saying debts that you may not even owe. So they're going to dig in the pockets of another foreclosure. They said the firm is accused of filing sworn statements with the court. Now, they just sent this other poor little attorney, indicted him for putting a false stamp on a document. He didn't swear to anything. He just forged it. But here they are. They filing sworn statement with the court where the person making the statement cannot possibly have had knowledge of the facts that he was swearing to. How many of you out there can raise your hand on that? How many of you out there can raise your hand and say that you've experienced some of these affidavits, assignments, robo-affidavits, assignments saying that we're signing a note in the mortgage and it's MERS and they never have possession of the note? And this person is swearing with a notary stamp on the bottom saying, yep, this person appeared before me and appeared to be the person that was entitled to do this, but there's no power of attorney attached, there's no application attached, there's no letterhead attached, which is required in some states. But the firm is accused of filing sworn statements. All right, now listen. I told y'all the other law firm in Colorado did up to 275,000 foreclosure. Hannah did 350,000 in a 4-year period. Let's add this up. Okay. 350, Georgia. Okay, that's just Georgia. Georgia in itself, one law firm, 350. All right? And 275 in Colorado, one law firm. That's 625,000 homeowners that had their house stolen. That's over 500,000 people with just two law firms. Where's my calculator at? Layla, you got a calculator in front of you? Layla? Oh, wait a minute. Where did Layla go? Oh, she was Layla?
Yes, I'm here.
You have a calculator.
I do.
I want you to do 650,000 times 150,000.
All right. Let me do that. A moment.
Not a problem.
That's 150,000?
Uh-huh, yes.
That is a lot of money. 9.75 to the 10th power.
Okay.
So that is a lot of money.
Do y'all understand between these two single law firms, and there's many of them, how much money, but more significant, how many
families they have displaced. Over a half of a million people had their economics changed from secured in their home to displaced and evicted in the street from a legal society that was stealing, committing aggravated perjury, which is the filing of fraudulent perjured affidavits, which is, by the way, a crime, but, you know, we don't benefit from them being in jail. We benefit from them paying us. But it is a crime. And if you do it, it's going to be a crime. They're not going to say, well, she didn't hurt anybody. But there's actually our victims, 650,000, or at least in this case, Hannah, 350,000. Based on the government agency saying this, not us. Because, you know, when we go in there, we say that the judge will be like, well, you know, you wasn't harmed by it, no harm, no foul. But when the government says, government agency says it, like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, then everybody believes it. Did the judges come in here and say, we don't believe you, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, get out of here? Oh, they tell you to get out of here, don't they? The firm was able to generate the mountain of suits through the use of an automated process and work from non-attorney staff. Non-attorney staff, that means people not employed by the legal society, and that's a no-no within the framework of the Bar Association rules, their society. In essence, the attorneys were only responsible for signing their name on a lawsuit. Look how they named them. All right. Look how the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau named them. Now, they know the consumer protection laws, and they're a governmental agency. Do you understand? They hold weight just like the Justice Department. They're the ultimate homeland security of the debt collection industry. Do you understand? They're the guns. And they describe this foreclosure mill. Understand, look how they use the word synonymously. Okay? You wouldn't know them as a foreclosure mill. The courts would say that they're conducting a foreclosure. Okay? But look how, and y'all have to learn how to read and eat all your food and read with understanding, the Bureau, which is a Consumer Financial Bureau, this is what they said, which refers to the firm as a debt collection lawsuit mill. What else do you need to hear? How many times have we said that? You would know them as a foreclosure mill, but the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, let me say those words again. Consumer, U, A3, Financial Protection Bureau. So the bureau that protects the consumers called the foreclosure mill that the courts say are the creditors a debt collection lawsuit mill. You think they know how to name somebody? The consumers are crazy, or the homeowners are crazy, or they're just trying to get a free house, or, you know. But when the Consumer Financial Collection Bureau say the same thing we say, oh, it's credible. Or is it? Saying that they filed hundreds of thousands of lawsuits based on unsubstantiated evidence where, in some cases, the debt may not actually be owed. And the law firm, Mr. Hanna and them, and they're pretty big in Georgia. They're name brand. Okay? They've built what you call go environment. Many of you use RICO. Misplace that word. But when you have an environment of this sort, an environment, and then you have a firm that builds up this much momentum in a criminal way, and it affects 350,000 people, when does that rise to the level of RICO or a syndicate or a mob or a gang
paper terrorism or terrorists. Man, if y'all had 10 people in a parking lot with motorcycles, they're going to come lock you up and tell you to get moving. You got a firm firmly placed in the state where they've done something 350,000 times and nobody said anything until the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau comes, and they said they did this for during 2009 and 2013. So 2000, for 4 years, the judiciary had allowed a firm to commit, let's say, 10% of the time out of the 350,000. That's 35,000, which we know is more than that. But 35,000 times a firm, legal society, was able to commit atrocities and damages and throw people out of their home, and they were lying all the time. And the homeowners probably said that. They're lying. You probably told an attorney, they're lying, and he probably said, yeah, you know, I'm going to try to convince the court that they're lying, but, you know, pay me 10 grand and I'll see what I can do. This is why I say you need to know the law yourself. You don't need to depend on any one society. Now, let me mention again that rumor has it is that if you were to ever get any kind of advice, or let me say specifically, legal advice, you would have to go and be, and you must, and if they're telling you, you have to go one particular place. That's like them telling you if you want to shop anywhere, you got to go to Walmart. But you would have to go to seek legal advice from a licensed attorney. I'm just saying. And some of those people employed are some people like this law firm, Hannah, that the Consumer Financial Bureau said they committed crimes and civil torts against 350,000 people, or let's say 10%. I'm sure they didn't go after them if it was 10%. 35,000 people. Let's say it was 30 people. Let's say there was even 3 people. Let's say you had went into Walmart and bought you a piece of tuna, and you got home, and that piece of tuna made you sick, and you went to the hospital, and the hospital said, what did you eat? And you said a piece of tuna, and they said, well, that has salmonella in it or something else in it. And they said, where did you buy it from? Well, I bought it from Walmart. Well, we're going to contact that Walmart, and we're going to contact the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and tell them to get all that damn salmon out of there because that salmon has salmonella in it. Don't y'all know that they do that? Don't they do that, Lori, Layla, and Rudy?
Absolutely, they do.
They'll snatch all the salmon and call all the other stores across the country and say, take that salmon off the shelf. Will they not? But this firm was able to do 350,000 people, and nobody snatched them off the shelf for more than 4 years. And they committed significant harm and damages to the economy of that state, to the psyche, to people, to kids, to families, to not pay back the creditors, to enrich themselves. And the Colorado Attorney General said this is an area that it's not really governed. It's wide open. And it just happens to be the legal society. But, you know, if you need any legal advice, you got to go and trust and get somebody from that society and hope that you get a good one. Nobody can tell you in life what you need to do or where you need to go or who you need to go to. Nobody can stop you from going to jump off a bridge if you want to. Nobody can stop you from taking a knife and stabbing yourself in the heart or using a firearm to do the same
or going to the drug deal on the corner and shooting yourself up with drugs. Nobody can stop you from doing that. Nobody can make you go to somebody that has the propensity to lie, cheat, or deceive you and tell you you have to go there. You have a choice to get information from wherever you want to get it from, whoever you want to get it from. You got a choice to choose your religious. If you want to go to this pastor, whether he's this or that, or if you want to go over here, it's your choice. And stop thinking that people can tell you what to do and where to go to. It's almost like saying, go be abused by somebody. Just like they wouldn't tell you to go to that Walmart and buy Salmon. Would they? They would shut it down. We have a problem in society, folks. And that problem is, time after time after time, the consumer, the people, the valuable asset of this country is being abused, oppressed by certain, because you don't have any damn power, do you? You can't even stop the Mayor Bloomberg in New York from selling from you buying a 20-ounce soda. You have no power, and you let these things go through. And then you wonder why he's trying to take everything else away from you. You have no power. You're not being stolen from by your neighbor. Oh, they'll lock them up quick. If you go down to the grocery store and steal you a Snicker bar, if you're hungry, you're going to jail. But firms in the legal society who say you must come to them and trust them for all of your legal information, whatever that is, or legal advice, whatever that is, you got to go to them and only them. No, that's not the law. Y'all need to read the Sherman Act, the Smith Act, and you understand that no corporation can have a hold on any particular area of commerce. You see these airline mergers, they got to get permission from the FAA. Why? We don't want y'all creating a stranglehold on any particular area of commerce. If you two merge, y'all can just do what you want with the price of tickets. No, we can't allow that. We have to allow people to function, and we have to allow competition. So stop thinking that you have to trust any particular society, especially one that has the propensity or a reputation of not doing what they're supposed to do, and not only not doing what they're supposed to do, but actually doing things that are adverse to what they're supposed to do. You decide for yourself where you get your information from. And I would say you get the information from wherever you want to get it from. And you get the assistance from wherever you want to get it from. Whoever you trust, whoever's going to explain it to you in a way that the result being, you know for yourself. I'm not saying don't use the society or anybody that's providing that information. That's not what I'm saying. The point I am trying to make is that the time has come to where we have to know it for ourselves in order to keep them in check. You're not going to get rid of them, but you're going to make them have respect and make them step up their game and stop the shenanigans when you go in there and you look at them and say, wasn't you supposed to do this? No, that's not what it says. You were supposed to do that. No, that's not what the law says. They were supposed to do this. That's the only time they're going to wake up and get back in place. It's when the consumer gets smarter than them or as smart. We got to wake up. These are just examples of what's happening because you're not educated. That's all. I blame every last one of you that are running around here playing the race game, playing the victim game, falling into the history game, falling into the patriot mindset. I blame even each and every last one of you because the law has always been available to you. But you rather go participate in events and shows and things teaching you how to disappear out the system when you should be doing your job to clean up the system and hold those accountable by what? Not by threatening them, not by marching, but by your fundamental knowledge of the law and the application of it and teach them that, look, I'll do it myself. I am only hiring you because I don't feel like doing it. That's it. I'm too busy. Unless we get that mindset, these things are going to continue to happen. Why? Because the Consumer Financial Bureau told you it was based on the consumer's lack of legal expertise, that they intimidated you into paying debts you may not even know. Now, how many times have you been sued by a debt collector and didn't feel you were being intimidated? Not by the debt collector, because you never damn seen them. You ain't never seen no bank representative in a foreclosure. The only person you seen was who? I'll let you answer that. The only thing you seen something written was from who? Or even if you seen something written signed by a bank representative, who drafted it? When are y'all going to wake up? You're not going to hurt them. We're not anti-attorney. We're pro-consumer. If I have the knowledge, you can't ever take it from me. If I see you doing something wrong, I'm going to call you to the carpet and I'm going to dig in your pocket because of it. Ask Brother Amon. Ask Brother Maynard what kind of looks they get now that they know the law. And they be, oh, shoot, you know that? Oh, wow. They're being careful now. Let me tell you something. The Consumer Financial Bureau going after these law firms, yeah, it's big for them. But what are they going to do? They're not going to take every dime these people made. They're going to get a substantial amount in settlement. But is the results going to be that crime still pays? Of course it does. These guys are still going to have their yachts. They're still going to pass out their stakes. They're just not going to be able to take care of the next five generations. So it's just another case. But you know when it really hurts and when things really change is when you start seeing the people start taking their private right of action seriously. Now they're going to get worried. They're not going to get worried when the Consumer Financial Bureau goes against it. They're just like, okay, well, then who are they going to go next? They got one law firm in Colorado, one of them over here. There's not as many of the CFPB as it is the people. But when is it going to scare the SHIT out of them? When the people start waking up and they start getting these debt collection cases and they start seeing counterclaims and removals and federal lawsuits and small claims courts and actions against them as well. That's when it's going to change, just 10%. Give me 100, just give me 10% of 100 people to take an offensive action and things will change dramatically, drastically. Just 10%. Just 10%. Do you think out of those 350 foreclosures, if 35,000 of those people took some action against them, do you think they would have got to 350,000? Think about it. If 35,000 of those victims that experienced wrongful foreclosures from these people, do you think they would have got up to 350,000 or they have much money left that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is going to get based on your three Bibles, the FDCPA, the FCRA, and the TCPA? Are you going to tell me they didn't make phone calls to the homeowners? Are you going to tell me they didn't offer modifications, which is attempt to collect the debt? Are you going to say they didn't send you notices with those inflated fees? Are you going to tell me you didn't have at least a half a dozen violations of the FDCPA, which could have got you actual damages, punitive damages on the FCRA, and even punitive damages on some egregious behavior under the FDCPA? And then $1,500 or $500 retroactive to the first for every additional call that they made to you. And then add that up. When are we going to wake up? Everybody else is. Usually you won't find a society turn against their own.
But, I mean, come on. I mean, let's look at the settlements out there. When they can yield you billions of dollars and you know they're stealing and they're not entitled to the money and they're going from driving Volkswagens to Rolls Royces, yeah, we're going to get our piece from you. You're still going to have a Rolls Royce. You just won't buy one every year. But many people won't have an opportunity to even ride in a Rolls Royce. And there's Rolls-Royce money out there for you, $18.2 million for FCRA violation, in case we shared with you. No, she wasn't dismembered. She didn't lose a toe. A shark didn't bite her in a hotel pool. A brick didn't fall on her while she was underneath a government building. No, it was nothing that bad. She got $18.2 million because Experian was reporting some erroneous information. Just as harmless as you not turning your turn signal on and getting a ticket for it. All right, I'm done. I can go forever. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, we're having a part three and part four of our Thor University. If you want to know how to deal with things from A to Z, you need to be in the house tomorrow and Sunday. DebtShow@yahoo.com. Reserve your seat. It's not many. These kind of classes are very rare. I didn't have them. I had to learn through hardcore studying. But you have an opportunity. Lori, Layla, and Rudy, we have another 30 minutes left. Please provide your commentary about the topics discussed, any testimony or information you would like to add to those topics. I know I discussed a lot of things. And then we'll go ahead and call it the day.
All right. Well, I will just say this is Layla. Very, very interesting information, and news is being reported every single day. I mean, that was a mouthful of information just since Tuesday. I mean, this is new. These are new articles since Tuesday. It's amazing. So we do really, really need to be attuned with what's going on. It should empower everyone to start to take action in their own affairs if you have not done so thus far. When we were talking about that article about those 350,000 families, close to 275,000 families, 650,000 families that have been affected by these only two law firms, it made my skin crawl. I mean, we're talking about those are households, really. Those are not necessarily families. These families might be one, two, five, more than a million people. You know, just do two. That's more, 1.2 million, 1.3 million people have been displaced at least in those particular cases. It's just incredulous.
And let me say one thing, so let me just jump in right quick. And
sure.
Our government wants you to believe that there's this boogeyman and a little Muslim with a dress and a beard that's going to come down a jetliner. And they want you to drop all your clothes at the airport, or they want you to start providing your blood samples and everything else because there's a boogeyman running around that hasn't hurt anybody. They may decide to, but there's real boogeymen every day that's affecting 350,000, 625,000 between just two entities that's ruining 625,000 lives. And you don't have them jokers stripping at the courthouse door. Think about it. Who's the real boogeyman in society? Not the people. And the damn sure ain't the Al-Qaeda.
You know, in 2001, after the World Trade Center incident, you know, and there was a declaration of war on terror. I'm like, how can you declare a war on terror? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. What comes up for me is, you know, when we were talking about that letter that I wrote, you know, that letter that I wrote kind of put me in the category of a paper terrorist, you know, and I just employ everyone to really consider where you are, what you've done. What you've done, it's okay for what you've done thus far. Consider where you are and make amends. If you've done that, if you had any inkling or done anything close to what I did almost a year ago, it's okay. Stop, turn, take a different course. Go in a different direction. Come on the side of the consumer protection laws. They're on your side. Those are the only laws that were written for us. And, yes, they were instituted in 1977. And Brother Sharif is not the only, you know, he's not the manufacturer of this. He didn't contrive this on his own. He's just the lighthouse, if you will, if you're faring on the sea. He's just the lighthouse. He's the way pointer, he's the giver and the bearer of the light so that we can move forward and do the things that we need to do. Forget about all that other stuff. It's not pertinent for what it is that we need to do. It's simple, just like he says. It's not quite as easy as I would think that it would be, but it's becoming easier as I continue to ingrain myself into the knowledge of it. So it's just really that simple for you to do. Detox yourself. You know, you're going to hear from Rudy in a moment. You hear from Lori. You know, we are having to go through a detox and get rid of all of the negative, all of the negative aspects. Some of those things may have worked in the past, but we've talked about how they've really closed the loophole. And it's not pertinent for the consumer protection laws. You don't need to bring it up. You don't need to bring the UCC, like we said, like I had in my letter. Didn't have to bring in, I laugh now because I've learned that a proof of claim has nothing to do with this. It's only done in a bankruptcy. So I just thought it was so funny. And then I was, like I said, I cited consumer protection laws. I didn't even know what they were. It's just amazing. I don't even know how I got that in my verbiage, but maybe something that they said. It was something that they said that caused me to say that. And as a result of that, it did throw them for a little bit, but I ended up getting a new attorney afterwards. So I guess they were a little bit affronted by what I said. But this is a way that you can really tap into what it is that you need to do for yourself and make that so-called boogeyman go away. The last thing I have to say, I know we want to open up the lines, be bigger than your problems. The secret to success is not to try to avoid, get rid of, or shrink your problems. The secret is to grow your problems. The very last thing I have to say before we close the show later on, be accountable for everything in your life. Rich people believe that they create their own life. Poor people believe that life happens to them. If you want to be wealthy in any area of your life, you must believe that you're the one causing your success, mediocrity, or struggle. So with that, Brother Sharif, back to you.
Great. I'm going to take two calls, and I'm going to get to Lori and Layla right quick. I forgot about the board. I was in a monologue real heavy because the information is important. I'm going to 718-7511. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you so much for all this work. I appreciate it so much. I am involved in a suit where Target National Bank is suing me for credit card debt. They have sold the debt about 5 times. They were charging over 30% interest, and finally when I asked them to lower it, they said no. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to stand up to them. It's been quite a few years. I lost because of summary judgment, where they didn't answer my discovery, and I guess they put in for summary judgment before I could put in my rebuttal or something, and I lost. Okay, that was for summary judgment. Then I asked for an appeal, and I lost on the appeal. I had a good argument. I listened to you, and I had the 15 USC, that the creditor, it has to be the creditor that can sue you. I don't have anything in front of me right now because I'm in Europe, and this is going on in New York. I'm out of the country right now for family reasons. But my husband is home, and he said that I lost the appeal. Is there a next step? Can I go further? Can I appeal to
I'm
going to
say, yes, excuse the noise. You lost the appeal due to a lack of knowledge of the rules, because I know you probably was going down one road with respect to your case and how you were defending it, and you probably didn't know enough of the rules to be able to compel them to provide discovery and for you to get the facts. You probably didn't do an affidavit. They probably did. They probably have robo-signed affidavits.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then you appealed, and when you appeal, people have to understand that your appeal has to be based on information, facts already in the record. Okay, you have
yes.
to appeal some error. Okay, that the court
yeah.
did that resulted in the action you didn't agree with. So you didn't
right.
do that. You kind of probably learned later on afterwards. Oh, they're just debt collectors, and the court just said, yeah, but you didn't kind of do that while you were
right.
in the case. So at this point, to be honest with you, you know one of two things. You can go and try to set it aside based on new information that you didn't know, which is, you know, you just now discovered, okay, when we mentioned
mm-hmm.
in the context of 1681B, you just discovered that they were debt collectors. That's going
mm-hmm.
to be a long battle,
okay.
and it might be a little bit difficult, being, again, is that two parts of what Thor teaches is, one is the law, and to teach you how to get very tactical-minded, strategic-minded, offensive and defensive-minded. But then another very important part of equal importance is the rules of procedure. You
right.
see, because you could have had all the information and know it with a lot of people on here. You're getting the first part of it. You're getting the information, and the way I deliver it is, you know, is great. And you probably will be
yeah.
able to go in court and say that, but you don't know how to plead it. You don't know the court rules.
Right.
You don't know how to litigate. So that's what this class is for, is the litigatory part of it, how to say those things, say it in the right context, say it to where the court can hear it, and they have to act on it and what to do. And that's an equally important part that you don't have. How much was the debt
right.
for?
$16,000.
Oh, wow. All
yeah.
right.
It's 30% interest for many years.
Yeah, so that's substantial enough to where, you know, if you get a garnishment on that amount or a lien on your property or, you know, you have to do something. What I would do offensively, and I don't know if you're in a position to do it now based on your knowledge, but what I would do if I was you, and I'm not giving you any legal advice, is that I would sue them for the debt collection action that they took, being the fact
okay.
that, you know,
that's
and
what
use
I was
that
thinking.
Information, yeah, use the information that they provided, their pleadings and everything, and I would sue all those involved, and, you know, sue them for that $16,000 judgment or more, plus my actual damages, any punitive damages that reported that debt on the credit bureau, and I would start doing
right.
everything I need to do, because, again, many times when you're in that lane and they're in that state court, I'm just telling you, they play ball together, they eat together, some of them are
yeah.
state parties that they have. And, you know, it's a buddy system. It already demonstrates sometimes it's a system. But then you're going to run into people that if you do things right by the rules, by the law, it doesn't matter what they say. You can try
mm-hmm.
to play buddy-buddy if you want, but I'm going to appeal it to the next level. And I'm going to get them to look over your work and determine that you're an idiot, basically. Just like
mm-hmm.
the man that had his Chapter 13 case and they filed a proof of claim 4 years after statute of limitations, and two doggone judges and a chief judge said, yeah, they can do that. And the appellate court said, what are you
mm-hmm.
thinking about? Are you on crack? Like, what are you talking about? No, they can't do that. So if you learn the rules and you apply the law correctly, it doesn't matter what they say. You go ahead and you challenge that all the way up to the point where the air becomes a little bit more clear to those that are looking at it objectively and subjectively at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you need to take your own action. Maybe forget about that. I don't know what position you're in, but in terms of assets, you need to probably make yourself a little bit somewhat garnishment proof, meaning that
You need to put your assets, situate your assets in a way to where they can't get to it. And I don't know what you have or what you don't have, but you probably need to do that, because once they obtain a judgment, they can then go to enforce that judgment, get garnishments. If they're working, those are things that they can do. You're working, there's really nothing you can do about it. What I would focus mainly on is hitting them harder than you they hit you, and seeing if that will discourage them from moving forward on what they've obtained fraudulently.
Okay. So I don't have, like, a certain amount of time to do this, because I'm not supposed to be back.
I mean, I would do it now. Yeah, you get a time.
I'm out of the
country.
That's my problem.
Well, I understand. Well, I mean, you can still do it from there. It's not going to be any requirement that you be there in person. You can definitely do your paperwork, send it to your husband, and have him file it. I mean, there's
don't
nothing
I have
wrong
to sign
that.
It and have it? Don't I have to have it notarized?
Sign it from where you are? No, there's no notarization and filing a lawsuit. No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you can get it started.
I thought I had to have my signature notarized for New York.
Not that I know of, for a lawsuit.
Okay.
Now, if you're talking about the state court, sometimes they have you notarize affidavits of service and all of that. But affidavits of service should be done by somebody other than you anyway. So if your husband is serving it by mail, then he's really the one getting it notarized. You're the defendant.
Okay.
You really shouldn't be doing anything. You should be having somebody else, and that's for everybody. If you're serving something, you have somebody else serve it. Because you shouldn't be the one doing those things. Have somebody else say, nope, somebody else mailed that. Nope, somebody else did this. Nope, somebody else did that. I don't want y'all to think I said I did something and I didn't. So you can get it started, but, you know, legally I believe you're supposed to be in the country. But I don't know if it matters at this point if you just want to get something started. I don't know your time frame. I don't know when they received the judgment. I don't know how fast they're going to act on the judgment. I'm just telling you need to hurry up and take action to kind of discourage them from moving forward. Or it might make them speed up. Who knows?
Right.
But you have to do something about it. That $16,000 is substantial. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Let's go to 267-3782. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Peace, brother. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for all the updates that you've given us. I do have a question. It wasn't related to today's discussion or things that you brought, but in the past I've heard you say that you don't submit a QWR to a debt collector. Can you just briefly elaborate on why?
Really? Okay. What's your name?
Sister Bay.
Okay. Now, what kind of party are you dealing with?
Allegedly foreclosure from a debt collector.
Okay, so you just said it was foreclosure from a debt collector. Right. I'm not questioning what you said.
Right. Who is claiming to be a servicer slash debt collector of Chase.
Okay, so out of your mouth, you said that it's a debt collector trying to do a foreclosure, which is true, and you're asking me, when you look at Title 12, USC 2605, which is RESPA, Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, that is instrumentation that relates to a mortgagee and mortgagor relationship. I think you understand, and maybe just need a little bit more explanation, on the fact that there was a transition in the status of everybody that happened by operation of an assignment or transfer of that debt while it was in default. Being that that occurred, that means titles and hats and badges and labels change. They don't change because you wanted to change or change because they wanted to change. It changed by operation of law. Law says that if you acquire a debt, 1692A4, you acquire a debt, a creditor is someone that creates a debt. All right? So the bank may have created a debt. But a creditor is not somebody that obtains a debt while it's in default just for the purpose of collection. That's 1692A4. So if you obtain the debt while it was in default, you're not a creditor. That's federal law. Okay? We got to understand the difference in state and federal. State law is going to allow the creditors to use the state court to pursue
an NREM or otherwise equity action in the state court under the state foreclosure laws. Federal law, there is no foreclosure federal laws, to my belief. Federal law says that, look, if you were a creditor at some point and you obtained the debt while it was in default, you're no longer a creditor, you're considered a debt collector, and the laws have changed from the state court to the federal law, which means the consumer protection law, which means you're a debt collector. Okay? Now, you can still be a creditor and be subject to the federal, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the FCRA, and the TCPA. All right? And it gets a little bit tricky, but not that much tricky. So you're asking me, why would I send, if you know that there's an assignment after you were in default and you know for sure that you're dealing with the debt collector, and I've always told you any middle person is a debt collector. That means if you got a creditor and you got somebody in the middle, which is a servicer, a waiter, a waitress, a parking attendant, a valet guy, he's working for the company, you're an individual, you're the consumer. He's the middle person. That means he does what you say. He does what they say. He's a debt collector. He has no personal knowledge of whether you say is true or whether what his boss says is true. He's just doing, he's the middleman. Like, I don't know. So you have a servicer. They're a debt collector. They're always going to tell you that they're a debt collector. So you tell them that, look, I know they're a debt collector, and I know generally you're always a debt collector. Because you're a middle party that doesn't have necessarily first-hand information. So being that I know you're mostly all the time a debt collector, I'm not talking about you, because you wrote in your correspondence, you're a debt collector. We're a debt collector attempting to collect a debt, and any information may be used for that purpose. So I already know who you are, but this is what I additionally know, that the guy you're working for is a debt collector, if there's a guy that you're working for. Because when you start to get into this and you understand it correctly, sister, you will realize that the creditor thing is really the boogeyman. There is no creditor. The debt collectors or the servicers are the ones that bought the debt. Go look up NationStar. Go look up Aqua. And they say, what, we bought $50 million in servicing rights. Well, what is servicing rights? How do you buy servicing rights? What they're saying is that they bought $50 billion in defaulted debt, subject to the assignment that you have in front of you. So being that you've identified, which is what we always teach, that not only are you a debt collector, but your boss, the one you're saying is a creditor or mortgagee, obtained this debt while it was in default. So really, your boss is a debt collector. Do you understand me? So why should I send you a QWR, which is for a creditor or a mortgagee? They love when you send them a QWR. Why? That applies to creditors. QWR, you don't see nothing within 1692, 1681. 47 U.S.C. 227 that says send them a QWR. You see any language QWR? You see referendum? No. But what you do see is 1692 A, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and that says you're a debt collector if you retain this debt while it's in default, and this is your lane. These are your laws. Forget all the contract or forget all that other stuff. Forget all the, you know, the mortgage language, the mortgagee, the borrower, all that kind of stuff. Forget all of that language. This is your new Bible. You've changed religions. This is your new Bible. So you send a debt collector a notice of dispute. You send a creditor a QWR. Name me one person in this country, give me the case law, and you can come free to an event this weekend, that's won a substantive case based on the fact that a creditor didn't answer a QWR. In fact, they choose to answer them or not based on how they feel like doing it, because if you're sending them a QWR and they're really a debt collector, they really don't know. They really know you don't know what the hell you're doing. And they can choose not to answer it. And why would they choose not to answer it? They can sit back and say, we've gotten too many of those this week. And really, we're not even mortgagees, so we don't have to answer them. But to keep the masquerade going on, we're going to try to answer them, but we're going to be real vague. So somebody at Thor wouldn't pick up on it and be like, now, why did you answer that letter? Try to answer QWR when you know you're a damn debt collector. So they got to be very careful with the language in the QWR, so sometimes it makes sense not to answer them. What are you going to do, sue them? Okay, they didn't answer the QWR. What's the liability statute, $2,000? That's it. We'll spend that $2,000, because if we send that letter to somebody like Brother Sharif and we respond to that QWR, and we say one wrong thing, or this office, or that, or say this, or do that, I'd rather pay the $2,000 than to have him sue me, and I got to pay attorney fees and be subject to actual damages and punitive damages, messing with that joker. So that's why, sister, you don't send a QWR to a debt collector, because that's not their language. They're a debt collector. They get a notice of dispute. And let me tell you something. I'm going to explain something to everybody. Send them a notice of dispute and send them a QWR and see which one they take more seriously. Based on what I just told you. They don't answer QWR, $2,000. They don't answer a notice of dispute with an educated consumer, maybe $200,000. Okay? See which one they answer. And see how they answer. I've had people that says, hey, man, I sent them a notice, QWR, and they didn't answer. I've been trying to get a modification. Do you want a modification? Yeah, that's really what you want? Okay. Send them a notice of the shoot. They send them a notice of the shoot. They get a nice little package. Hey, you want to be in this Make It Home Affordable program here? Or you want this new program that we came out with last year for you people that don't know the difference in a debt collector and a creditor? Go ahead. Send the paperwork in and send me pay stubs, your tax returns, and your kids' names and Social Security numbers and date of birth, and send me a fingerprint and put some salt and pepper on that letter, too. You understand? They know what to respond to and what not to respond to, and they know how it looks, which is why I tell Layla, nope, that's not an applicable letter. It's too much emotion in that. You don't have emotions. No emotions in this. You don't educate them. I notice of dispute. I dispute the debt, the alleged debt. That's it. I'm not going to educate you. So that's the answer, sister, if that helps you any much.
You did a fabulous job. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I wish I did have the funds to attend your webinar and the equipment and everything else, but unfortunately I don't. So I
think we're
going
to pray for you. If anything we can do to help, just email us, and we'll see what we can do to help you. Just email us at debtshow@yahoo.com. But thank you very much, and God
thank
bless.
You.
All right, Layla and Lori, we have eight minutes left. Y'all provide your commentary. Let me open up the mother's line. I think I closed it. Y'all are on. 3 or 4 minutes each.
Hey, I'm going to make it real quick.
Oh,
go ahead, Rudy.
Okay, the only thing I was going to say is, you know, again, we're at the close of another very important call. Again, we have experienced the outpouring of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and that's really what Thor is all about. I always say applied knowledge is power and applied knowledge is the key. Join us on tomorrow, if at all possible. Happy day.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank
Laura.
You for all that you've done.
Hey, hey,
thank
hey.
You.
I'll take 1692 for
$250,000, Bob. Survey
set. Yes. And that means 1681 for $450,000.
You know what? You just gave me an idea. I've been thinking on my mind. That's funny you said that. I was thinking all week we have to do a trivial show. To where we just ask questions, what is the answer based on our three commercial Bibles? And sort of like a Thor Family Feud type game. What happens
that
when this
awesome.
And that? And I was just thinking about that, and you come up with that. That is so funny. The creator is so great. I'm serious. We need to come up with, and we are going to come up with something like that. Something fun where we can all participate based on the knowledge of the listeners, because we want them to advance in their knowledge. We want to keep having all these shows. Because my voice is getting gone. The fat lady done sung, and the voice is leaving. So y'all better kind of get everything out of me, because my voice is about to go under. But I wanted to do something like that. But go ahead, hon.
Yeah, that's so funny, too, because I was thinking earlier when I was blow-drying my hair that I got a letter the other day, and I was wanting, if we had time, I was going to read over it, and I was going to ask the callers if we had time, you know, someone call in and you know, I don't know. I was going to give them a $20 gift card or something to somewhere because I wanted them to identify, tell me, you know, what it was on that letter that was so obvious and like a mule kick in the head as to a really good violation that, It doesn't matter what discovery. You don't have to get all insurance.
We're
going to
do that type of show. I just
right
told you. We are going to do something like that. Yes.
Well, we are.
Thor Trivial Day. Yes, we need to do that. Read some letters and let the listeners call in and be like, what do you think is a violation? And then I'll judge
right
what
on
a violation is. That is great. Perfect. Great idea. Next
right
week,
on,
we're on it.
Right on. Yeah, that sounds good. And I'll throw in a couple out of my deal. I'll throw in a couple of, like, $20 gift cards or, I don't know. I might even have a pretzel in the house, man. I'll dip it in some chocolate and sprinkles.
Fair
and
cowboy boots.
Somebody.
Texas, I'll take the cowboy boots.
That's it. I'll put some pretzels together in the shape of a longhorn. And send
that's
to somebody.
Right.
But yeah, hey, to all you guys out there who aren't able to attend the webinars and seminars right now, who may be in financial restraint, I would say then that means that you need to bone up even more. You need to just suck it up, pull your bootstraps up, and you need to learn. You need to learn. It is a necessity. And one of those ways you can do that is through looking at your federal civil rules of procedure and your local civil rules of procedure. Get those two books. Get those off the internet. You can do it for free or order them, whatever or however. Go to a library. There are plenty of resources out there. Be resourceful and make it happen. And read over some of these complaints that are put in through the Attorney General and through the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And see how to plead these cases and make it happen. And then you'll have some money in your pocket. And then you'll be able to do some of that stuff. So God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. And we'll see y'all next Tuesday.
Great. I want to say to all of you, thank you. Thank you for joining us and supporting another episode of Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Thor Ministry. We'll see those of you attending tomorrow and Sunday. We look forward to a powerful weekend. We'll see you next on Tuesday. God bless you. Please study, and please don't take any action until you fully understand what you understand. God bless.